ಜಯಂ ಶುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಅಭಯಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಹರಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕಿ ಜಯಂ ನಿಥಿಲ ಪ್ರವಿಷ್ಟ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಭಕ್ತ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಮಹರಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕಿ ಅನಂದಗೋಡಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ವೃಂದಕಿ ನಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ಕಿ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಸಹೋ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದಕಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಪ ಗೋವಿನಾಥ ಶ್ಯಾಮಗುಂಡ ರಾಧಾಗುಂಡ ಗಿರಿ ಗೋವರ್ಧಾನಕಿ ವೃಂದಾವನ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಾಯಪುರ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಧುರಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ್ಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ದ್ವಾರಕಾಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಗಂಗಮಾಯಿಕಿ ಯಮುನಮಾಯಿಕಿ ತುಳಸಿದೇವಿಕಿ ಭಕ್ತಿದೇವಿಕಿ ಸಾಮವೇದ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದಕಿ ಗೌರ್ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದಿ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿ ಶ್ರೀ 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 ಗುರುವೇನ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರಂಗ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ನಮಾಮ ಶ್ರೀಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂದಲೇ ಶ್ರೀಮತಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿ ದಿನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಿಂ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಜಾರಿಣಿ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವದೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವದೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವದೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಸಂಸಾರ ಸಾಗರೇ ಮಗ್ನಂ ದೀನಂ ಮಾಂ ಕರುಣಾನಿಧೇ ಕರ್ಮಗ್ರಾಹ ಗೃಹೀತಾಂಗಂ ಮಾಮುದ್ಧರ ಭವಾರ್ಣವಾದ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ಭಾಗವದಾಖ್ಯೋಯಂ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಕ್ಷ ಕೃಷ್ಣಮೇ ವಹಿ ಸ್ವೀಕೃತೋಸಿ ಮಯಾನಾಥ ಮುಕ್ತ್ಯರ್ಥಂ ಭವಸಾಗರೇ ಮನೋರಥೇ ಮದೀಯೋಯಂ ಸಫಲಾ ಸರ್ವದಾ ತ್ವಯ ನಿರ್ವಿಘ್ನೇನೈವ ಕರ್ತವ್ಯಂ ದಾಸೋಹಂ ತವ ಕೇಶವ ಭವೇ ಭವೇ ಯದಾ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಪಾದಯೋರ್ಸ್ತವ ಜಾಯತೆ ತಥಾ ಕುರುಷ್ವ ದೇವೇಶ ನಾಥಸ್ತ್ವಂ ನೋ ಯದ ಪ್ರಭೋ ನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಂ ಯಸ್ಯ ಸರ್ವಭಾವ ಪ್ರಣಾಶನಂ ಪ್ರಣಾಮೋ ದುಃಖಶಮನಂ ತಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಂ ಪರಂ ಜನ್ಮಾದ್ಯಸ್ಯ ಯತೋನ್ವಯಾದಿತರದ ಚಾರ್ತೇಷ್ವಭಿಜ್ಞಸ್ವರಾಣ್ ತೇನೇ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಹೃದಾಯ ಆದಿಕವಯೇ ಮುಹ್ಯಂತಿ ಯತ್ಸೂರಯ ತೇಜೋವಾರಿಮೃದಂ ಯಥಾ ವಿನಿಮಯೋ ಯತ್ರ ತ್ರಿಸರ್ಗೋ ಮೃಷ ಧಾಮ್ನಾ ಸ್ವೇನ ಸದಾ ನಿರಸ್ತಕುಹಕಂ ಸತ್ಯಂ ಪರಂ ಧೀಮಹಿ ಧರ್ಮ ಪ್ರೋಜಿತ ಕೈದವೋತ್ರ ಪರಮೋ ನಿರ್ಮತ್ಸರಾಣಾಂ ಸದಾಂ ವೇದ್ಯಂ ವಾಸ್ತವಮತ್ರ ವಸ್ತು ಶಿವದಂ ತಾಪತ್ರಯೋನ್ಮೂಲನಂ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ಭಾಗವದೇ ಮಹಾಮುನಿ ಕೃತೇ ಕಿಂ ವಾಪರೈರೀಶ್ವರ ಸದ್ಯೋ ಹೃದ್ಯವರುದ್ಯದೇತ್ರ ಕೃತಿಭಿ ಶುಶ್ರೂಷುಭಿ ತಕ್ಷಣ ನಿಗಮಗಲ್ಪದರೋರ್ಗಲಿದಂ ಫಲಂ ಶುಗಮುಖಾದಮೃತದ್ರವ ಸಂಯುಧಂ ಪಿಬದ ಭಾಗವತಂ ರಸಮಾಲಯಂ ಮುಹುರಹೋರಸಿಗಾ ಭುವಿ ಭಾವುಕಾಃ ಸಚ್ಚಿದಾನಂದರೂಪಾಯ ವಿಶ್ವೋತ್ಪತ್ಯಾದಿ ಹೇದವೇ ತಾಪತ್ರಯ ವಿನಾಶಾಯ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಯಂ ನುಮಃ ಯಂ ಪ್ರವ್ರಜಂತಂ ಹನುಭೇದಮಭೇದಕೃತ್ಯಂ ದ್ವೈಪಾಯನೋ ವಿರಹಕಾದರಮಜ್ಜುಹಾವಾಂ ಪುತ್ರೇದಿ ತನ್ಮಯದಯತ್ತರವೋಭಿನೇದು ತಂ ಸರ್ವಭೂತಹೃದಯಂ ಮುನಿಮಾನತೋಸ್ಮಿ ಯಸ್ವಾನುಭಾವಮಖಿಲ ಶ್ರುತಿಸಾರಮೇಕಂ ಅಧ್ಯಾತ್ಮದೀಪಮತಿತಿದೀರ್ಷದಾಂಧಮಂಧಂ ಸಂಸಾರಿಣಾಂ ಕರುಣಯಾಃ ಪುರಾಣಗುಹ್ಯಂ ತಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಸೂನುಮುಪಯಾಮಿ ಗುರುಂ ಮುನೀನಾಂ ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವೀಂ ಸರಸ್ವತೀಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತದೋ ಜಯಮುದೀರಯೇತ್ ಕಮನೀಯ ಕಿಶೋರಮುಗ್ಧಮೂರ್ತೇ ಕಳವೇಣು ಕುಣಿದಾದೃತಾನನೆಂದೋಃ ಮಮ ವಾಜಿ ವಿಜೃಂಭದಾಂ ಮುರಾರೇ ಮಧುರೀಂ ನ ಕನಿಕಾಪಿ ಕಾಪಿ ಕಾಪಿ ನಮಃ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂತಲೇ ಶ್ರೀಮದೇ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನ್ ಹಿರಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವೀಂ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೆ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣಿ ಶ್ರೀಮಲ್ ಗುರುಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ನಮ ವಂದೇ ನಂದವ್ರಜಸ್ತ್ರೀಣಾಂ ಪಾದರೇಣುಮಭೀಷ್ಣಶ ವ್ಯಾಸಾಂ ಹರಿಗದೋದ್ಗೀತಂ ಪುನಾದೀಭುವನತ್ರಯಂ ಗೋಪೀಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಪರಮಾನವೇ ನಮಃ ಪೀತಾಂಬರಂ ಕರವಿರಾಜಿತಚಕ್ರಶಂಖಂ ಕೌಮೋದಗೀ ಸರಸಿಜಂ ಕರುಣಾಸಮುದ್ರಂ ರಾಧಾಸಹಾಯಮತಿಸುಂದರಮಂದಹಾಸಂ ವಾತಾಲಯೇಶಮನಿಶಂ ಹೃದಿ ಭಾವಯಾಮಿ കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദ മാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധയായ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ We will continue with where we stopped yesterday. Mujugunda Stuti. King Mujugunda's glorification of Krishna. That's what we are discussing, isn't it? So, if you remember, Mujugunda Uvacha. What did Mujugunda say? Vimohidoyam janayishamayaya todiyaya tumna bhajatyanarthadrik sukhaya dukkha prabhaveshu sajjade ഗൃഹേഷു യോഷിൽ പുരുഷശ്ച വഞ്ചിത ലബ്ധ്വാജനോ ദുർലഭമത്ര മാനുഷം കഥഞ്ചിദവ്യംഗമയത്നോ അനഘ പദാരവിന്ദം പദാരവിന്ദം ഭജത്യസന്മതിർ ഗൃഹാന്തകൂപേ പതിതോ യഥാ പശു മമൈഷ കാലോചിത നിഷ്ഫലോ ഗതോ രാജ്യശ്രിയോന്നദ്ധമദസ്യ ഭൂപതേ മർത്തി ആത്മബുദ്ധേ സുതധാര കോശപോൽ ആസജ്ജമാനസ്യ ദുരന്തചിന്തയാ കലയഭരേസ്മിൻ ഗടകുഢ്യസന്നിഭേ നിരൂഢമാനോ നരദേവം ഇത്യഹം വൃതോരഥേ ഭാഷ്യപദാത്യനീകപേർ ഗാം പര്യടാം സ്വാം ഗണയൻ സുദുർമദാഹ പ്രമത്തമുച്ചൈരിതി കൃത്യ ചിന്തയാ പ്രവൃദ്ധലോഭം വിഷയേഷു ലാലസം ത്വമപ്രമത്ത സഹസാഭിപദ്യസേ ക്ഷുല്ലേലിഹാനോ ഹിരിവാഖുമന്ദക പുരാരഥേർ ഹേമ പരിഷ്കൃതൈശ്ചരൻ മതംഗജേർവാ നരദേവ സംയിതാഹ സ ഏവ കാലേന ദുരത്യേന തേ കളേഭരോ വിൽക്രമിഭസ്മ സംയിതാഹ നിർജിത്യത് ചക്രമഭൂത വിഗ്രഹോ വരാസനസ്ഥ സമരാജവന്ദിതാഹ ഗൃഹേഷു മൈഥുന്യസുഖേഷു യോഷിതാം ക്രീഡാ മൃഗ പുരുഷ ഈശനീയത്തെ കരോതി കർമാണി തപസ്സു നിഷ്ഠിതോ നിവൃത്തഭോഗ തദപേക്ഷയാ തദ് പുനശ്ച ഭൂയേയമഹം സ്വരാട് ഇതി പ്രവൃദ്ധദർശോ ന സുഖായ കൽപ്പതേ ഭവാപവർഗോ ഭ്രമതോ യഥാ ഭവേത് ജനസ്യ ദർഹി അച്യുത സൽസമാഗമം സൽസംഗമോ യർഹി തദൈവ സൽഗതോ പരാവരേഷേ ത്വയി ജായതേ മതി മന്യേ മമാനുഗ്രഹമീശദേ കൃതോ രാജ്യാനുബന്ധാപകമോ യദൃച്ഛയ യ പ്രാർത്ഥ്യതേ സാധുഭി ഏകചര്യയ വനം വിവിക്ഷിദ്ഭി അഖണ്ഡഭൂമിപൈഹി ന കാമയേന്യം ധവപാദസേവനം അകിഞ്ചന പ്രാർത്ഥ്യതമാദ്വരം വിഭോ ആരാധ്യകസ്വാം അപവർഗതം ഹരേ വൃണീതമാര്യോ വരമാത്മബന്ധനം തസ്മാത് വിസൃജ്യാശിഷമീശ സർവതോ രജസ്തമസത്വഗുണാനുബന്ധനം നിരഞ്ജനം നിർഗുണം അദ്വയം പരം ത്വാം ജ്ഞപ്തിമാത്രം പുരുഷം വ്രജാമ്യഹം ചിരമിഹ വൃജിനാർത്ഥ തപ്യമാനോനുതാപൈ അവിദൃശ ഷഡമിത്രോ അലബ്ധശാന്തി കഥഞ്ചിൽ ശരണതം സമുപേതത്വൽപദാബ്ജം പരാത്മൻ അഭയമൃതമശോകം പാഹി മാ പന്നമീശ സോ ദോസ് വേഴ്സസ് വാട്ട് മുജുകുന്ദ ഹാസ് told Krishna. So yesterday we discussed this, that Mujugunda was a great yogi, wasn't he? Was a great yogi. He had done so much yoga abhyasam, I mean, particularly the Ashtanga yoga system. Patanjali's Ashtanga yogam, he has practiced that and he has gone very high in that level. In spite of that, he is saying to Krishna that I still feel I have not been able to control my mind yet, in spite of doing all that. So he mentions there, Atyandika Shandi. Atyandika means the ultimate peace hasn't happened, come to me yet. So you can see Mujugunda's desperate situation. He is feeling very desperate inside. He has come as a king in the Solar dynasty, followed by Ikshvaku and many other great personalities. They have all made their life a success, able to
run their administration, but at the right time to leave everything and go and take advantage of this human body and get back home back to Krishna. Or they have all done that. Mujugunda is feeling, I have lost it, I didn't make it. And he is feeling that inside very strongly. That is why he is saying these things to Krishna. That in his desperate state, that why it did not happen to me, somewhere that knowledge has gone away, broken away. Like Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? The same thing you can see here. Then, so Mujugunda mentions this to Krishna, and he told the demigods that if you can help me at least to get rid of this ahankaram from inside, false ego what I have. But the demigods also said that is not possible for us. It's not in our control. So that's why he says, Mujugunda says, some ahankara kshayam. Ahankara kshayam means that I just want to free myself from this ego. Just want to free myself from the ego, he says. So the ego, we talked about it yesterday, sthulam sushmam. That means gross level and on a subtle level. Ahankaram is like that, on a gross level and on a subtle level, isn't it? So on a gross level, that gross level, we have so many ahankarams. So many ahankaram. Ahankaram is a very difficult thing to understand also. That false ego in us, in a gross level, it happens in one way. In a subtle level, which is the individual vyakti abhimanam, that means personalized, you can say. Personalized ego. Based on the personalized ego. There, he says, from the Vedantam point of view, the people who have self-realized, those who have not realized, they are all in false ego. we cannot make any claim against that. If you are not self-realized, you are carrying ego. That is the absolute statement from the Vedantam point of view. It is like that. Because what they say is that the jivatvam or the jiva consciousness itself is ego. When the jiva develops ego, that is how it becomes jiva. Otherwise, it is atma, isn't it? So that's what he mentions there, that ahankarakshayam, he said, anyone who is not realized the truth, who has not conscious of the soul, he is actually ahankari. He has carries ahankaram with him, in other words. So Mujugunda says here that he asked the demigods that release me from this ego what I have inside. This was his prayers to demigods. He didn't ask for any material opulences. He didn't ask for anything else except that he says, at least release me from this ego inside. Mujugunda's ego, you can imagine what it could be. Isn't it? A very powerful king running the planet. That too had a great lineage, starting from Ichwago onwards. And plus he says there that demigods are inviting him to come and fight the war with them. So what could be that ego? Ego could be that big, isn't it? It's not an ordinary jiva like that, like all of us, but it's a big ego. So he is finding it difficult to get rid of that from inside, and is saying to them that, and he realizes, he says, that what I want is shanti inside. I don't want anything, I want perfect shanti inside. And that what they call it as nirvikalpam. Nirvikalpam means without any vikalpam inside. Vikalpam means the continuous thoughts that comes through that way. So, two things here, that first of all he says, I do not want to feel that ego inside, that I am the doer, that kartrutvam, struggling very hard to get rid of that kartrutvam from inside, that I am the doer. That's what he is struggling, to get rid of that. So, first thing he says, I need to get rid of that from inside. If I can't do that, whatever I see, that everything, it is the same thing that is present. That is how in the Vedantam they present that. What it means is, I am not the doer, but I am finding that difficult to get out of my head, that I am not the doer. It's very difficult to get it out from inside, isn't it? If it is like that, everything what I see in this world, it's done by that big ego inside, in everyone, which is Krishna. If I can't do it myself, I cannot free myself from that concept that I am the doer. At least let me think it is that big ego Krishna who is present in everyone, who is doing everything. If I come to that conception, I can at least free myself from this. So basically they are by the same principle. Because in one way, in Shastram they call it as Ekadeshiya Satta. Ekadeshiya Satta means localized ego. the big ego is doing everything. Krishna is also an ego, is a big ego. Ego is a word what we use in English, but Krishna's position, because there cannot be an ego as addressed as Krishna. But Paramatma is present in every living entity who is doing everything all the time. But when it becomes localized in a person, it is called Ekadeshiya Satta. So Ekadeshiya Satta, localized experience, is that Abhimanam, I am the doer, Vyakti Abhimanam, individual ego. When that goes away through knowledge and realization, at that time, what happens to him? He loses his individual identity and he becomes everything, isn't it? The merging of the individual consciousness with the supreme consciousness happens at that time. So whenever this pride, the body, the mind, the individual ego, all of them, if it is holding on to that, whenever our individual ego is holding on to this body, the mind, the intelligence in everything, and when it gets released from that, and when it becomes the supreme consciousness, it merges with that, at that time it is a different experience. It's a different experience. Sarvam bhavati egadeshiyataha, it says in the Upanishads. Because consciousness, when it is located in one body, in one localized area, it causes distress. It causes distress. So this false ego, this false ego goes away and knowledge of the self comes in. And that is what when we call it as realization. Atma Sakshalkaram. So Mujukunda says this to the demigods, and demigods says to him, we haven't got it ourselves to give it to you. We haven't got it ourselves. How can we give it to him? So when they say to him that when Krishna does that out of his own kripa or grace, if he gives that, and then one day this will happen to you. That's how they have told him. Mujukunda says, if it is like that, I'll go and sleep somewhere. Because the only state where you are not having trouble with ego is in sleep. Is it not? So that is why he has asked for the sleep. We wonder why the sleep is a big thing we are making out of it. But you can see the problem that he's saying there, that only time when you are free from that ego is only while during the sleep, in the deep sleep state, isn't it? Sushupti. So, that is the time when we don't have any problem with the ego ourselves. And when the mind starts moving, immediately we will start giving trouble to ourselves. Isn't it? We experience the problems also at that time. So, the same fear will come to him, and you can see this also, how it manifests in all of us. We all find it difficult to be alone, isn't it? We all finding difficult to be alone. Why is this that? Why is it like that? A fear comes when you are alone. There's nobody else with us. And that's why in the modern world, what they do? They take the mobile phone and start pressing this button, that button, continuously sending text messages and all kinds of things. This is all the fear inside, that being lonely, that fear. Why is it developing like that? If you understand Mujukunda's prayers well, you will look back to ourselves. You can see a lot of things what he says practically applies to us as well. That this fear that's coming from inside all the time, being alone, that fear is very, very strong. And therefore, somehow or the other, we need some distraction all the time. Mind is demanding that from inside. Everybody is frightened about their own mind. Their own mind they are frightened about. So, silence is not possible for them. Therefore, we have all things, television, mobile phones, computers, and so many other things also. So this whole entertainment industry has developed centered around this fear of being alone. Fear of being alone. That's why they created, and we have become victimized by that. Practically, that's what has happened to all of us, isn't it? So if there is no distraction, then there is fear inside. I can't sit alone. Took the remote, start pressing everything and looking for some channel or the other, and we say that no channel, there's nothing in anything there. Then you keep pressing again back and forth. So, why? Because mind, which cannot be peaceful within, and this is our enemy. The mind which is not peaceful, he becomes the enemy, as Krishna says. So Why? Because finding it difficult to be alone. There was a famous poet, Avayar. She was a devotee of Lord Shiva. And Shiva asked Avayar, "What do you want from me?" She says to him that all I want is silence and solitude. This is spiritual advancement. Spiritually advanced people, they like the silence, they like the solitude. Because there they feel that shanti inside. Shanti inside. In English, there is a poetry called The Silence. If you Google, you will see a lot of people have written. There's one of them, I think, I forget the name of the poet who wrote, it was taught in the schools and all that. He wrote that poetry and he says, he's frightened of silence in that. He's frightened of silence, he says. Avayar says, all I want is silence, he says. She says. So completely opposite. A person who is driven by the mind, he does not want silence. He does not want solitude. He wants all the time people around and noise and something to work on. Otherwise, the mind is causing problem for them. But one who is controlled self, one who is peaceful inside, he loves the silence. He loves the solitude. spiritual advancement is that Krishna also says this. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see Vivikta Desha Sevitvam Aradir Jana Samsati. Krishna says, the nature of a person who is making advancement on the spiritual path is Vivikta Desha Sevitvam. He wants to be alone. And Aradir Jana Samsati, away from all the hustle and bustle of the town and cities. They want to be alone, free from all this, because it's not helping him. So the reason is, they like to stay alone, peacefully, the realized souls. The reason for that for ourselves, the most happy thing is within us, not outside. It is inside. So there is a story about that. A man who lived in a house alone, when he goes inside the house, he closes all the doors and windows. And when he leaves the house, he leaves all the doors and windows open and then he goes away. Leaves everything open and he goes out. What do we normally do? When we are inside the house, we open the doors and windows. And when we go out, we close all the doors and windows and then we go. This person was exactly the opposite. So he used to leave all the doors and windows open when he goes out. When he comes home, he closes all the doors and windows. So a lot of people observed this and they asked him, why you do like this? Exactly opposite to what we do. You don't know that, he said. For me, the most valuable thing is me. He said, he's inside me. Because when I'm outside the house, I'm not there. So whatever people want to do, they can do with the house. They won't steal me, he says. But when I'm inside the house, I have to close all the doors and windows because the most precious thing is here. That is the principle. So you can see here, if I am inside the house, nobody should take me away from there. Therefore, I close all the doors and windows, he said. So so you can see this priyam, that for all everyone, our happiness and satisfaction is all coming from inside. It is not coming from any object. This is the principle in there. That you can see yourself if you take note of that. We think that there is happiness in everything, outside things, isn't it? We find in different objects happiness we are getting from that. But if you critically look at it, you will see that happiness is not coming from the object, it's coming from inside. It's coming from inside. So the most precious thing is right here, inside there. And whatever we may say, we cannot avoid that. We cannot avoid that. We keep saying, oh, I like Krishna, I love Krishna and all that. But ultimately, if you look there also, you can see the love is here inside there. It is here. The satisfaction has to come from within that person. So this nature, you can, if you very subtle level, if you look at it, you will see this is in every plane of life. Every plane of life. I'll give you examples. Like if you look at this way, people who have migrated from one country to another, when they go to the new places, when they, for example, English people, they went to America. Have you noticed that wherever they have given the name of the places, they have given the same names from here? York has become New York there, and so many, Boston has gone there, Washington has gone there. From here, it has gone to other country. Similarly, Spanish people who have gone to South America, they have named many towns based on the Spanish names. The French have gone abroad, they have given the many names, names based on the French. Why is this? Why is that happening? You will notice this happening all over the world. Reason is this, that there is something in us, that priyam that comes from mind, that feeling, that what they have got here, they carry with them wherever they go, and they want to see that thing somewhere else in the same way. The people who are gone from here, whoever has gone at whatever time, whenever they left here, they carried that with them, that the happiness that they were experiencing here, that when they relate with that particular place where they were born or where they were grew up, when they go to a new place, they want to transfer that priyam, what they were getting from here, into another place. But the problem there is, this is that priyam that is mixed with ignorance. That's the thing. Shastram very clearly talks about these things. It says to us, the ignorance when you mix with that priyam, then it develops in these forms, in these different ways. So, in all Siddhantam also you will see, this Swarthada you will see. Even among the spiritual personalities, sometimes you will notice these things coming. It comes in a very subtle level. Because that priyam, what is coming from inside, turns into selfishness. Turns into selfishness means a selfish interest behind it. It comes out in that way. So, priyam is not a wrong thing. Priyam is coming from the soul. It will come wherever it goes, it will have that priyam inside. But when priyam gets mixed with ajnanam, avidya, ignorance, in that way, that means, in other words, when it identifies with the body, when it identifies with the personality, that is a mistake. That is where the mistake happened. So, when we know that our body is not our identity, and when we realize what is bhakti, then this selfishness will go away from inside. If there is no bhakti inside, identification with the body will project on anything in this world. Project anything on this world. And we will try to get some priyam from. Priyam will come freely from the soul. Priyam is coming. Priyam or love, whichever way we want to address that. It will come from the soul, but it is looking for an outlet. When it is mixed with ignorance, it will find in some object or in some place or in some form, it will get hold of something in this world. That priyam will develop something. You can also see, if you look at it in a very subtle level, that mind, body, intelligence, that has nothing to do with that priyam. Priyam does not come from that. So, because priyam cannot come from any of those sources, neither from the mind, nor from the intelligence, nor from the body. The only source from where the priyam comes is the soul, is the soul and soul alone. But, and when the soul wants to express itself outside, that is what it is, that priyam. When the soul wants to express itself outside, so, and even if you try to deny that, you can't deny it. It is not possible. So, very detailed, if you think about that, you will notice that Nitya Priya, Gopi says this to Krishna, isn't it? Nitya Priya. Nitya Priyam, it can only come from Krishna. It cannot come from anywhere else. And if the Priyam is coming from inside, the point is that Krishna is present inside. That's why that Priyam is coming from. Krishna is understood by the gopis in that way. Then you will see in the Bhagavadam, we remember that verse we discussed before in the 29th chapter, that before Rasa dance, when he started, um, കുറവന്തിഹി ത്വൈരതിം കുശലസ്വമാത്മൻ നിത്യപ്രിയേ പതിസുതാദിഭിരാർത്ഥിതൈക്കിം തന്ന പ്രസീത പരമേശ്വരമാസ്മചിന്ത്യാൽ ആശാവൃതം ത്വയിചിരാദരവിന്ദനേത്രാം. ഇ സെഡ് ദാറ്റ് ഇസ് ഇൻ സോ മെൻഷൻസ് ദയർ കുറവന്തിഹി ത്വൈരതിം കുശലസ്വമാത്മൻ. Gopis are talking the highest philosophy. They are saying that Kurvandihi Tvai Ratim Kushalaswam Atman, that people who are very expert, Kushalaswa, Kushalada, who have got that expertise, they impose their priyam only in you, in the soul. Kushalaswa Atman. Nitya Priye. And then they say, Gopis are saying, Nitya Priye, you are that Nitya Priyam. Nitya Priyam is only possible towards Krishna. It's not possible anywhere else. Tvai Sudha, Pati Sudhadibir Arthidaikim. Pati Sudhadibir Arthidaikim. They all ultimately will bring distress at the end, in one way or the other. So this understanding Gopis had, that is why they mentioned there, Tanna Prasida Parameshwaramasma Chindyalasha Abhudam Tvai Chidad Aravinda Netram. So there you can see Ajnanam is inside. That means if there is avidya inside, Ajnanam inside, at that time that priyam will turn into outside world, in others. It will get distributed in the family members, in the society, in the nation, and sometimes even in the football club. It'll go there also. In so many things it can go like. This is the same priyam coming from inside. It gets branched off in all different directions. Wherever it goes, Krishna is saying, Mujunda is also saying, that it will all end up in distress at the end. It won't give happiness because it's not meant to go there. Nitya priyam can only be possible towards Krishna. Nowhere else. Otherwise it is frustration. So, so kushalaswama altman, that kushalata, we talked about that before, that those who are capable of cutting the kushagras and splitting it out, that is word kushagras, it has come, this word kaushalam, kaushalam has come. So this thing called love, it's a very dangerous thing in this world, isn't it? So, and everybody glorifies that word in a big way. They talk about that in a big way. So, but you can see that this is the same thing, the cause of all the wars in this world, and also all the distress, everything has come from this issue only, this issue only. Because love is there, but when this love is not mixed with properly with the knowledge, it is dangerous. It's dangerous. It causes a lot of distress in everybody's life when it's not properly mixed with the knowledge. Hitler fought the war because of love. He loved his country. His priyam was towards the country and went that direction. So from outside, if you look at it, you will see that he was a very dangerous person. He created so much problems. But the priyam that was coming from inside, you can't deny that. What was coming from inside? His priyam for the country. But because there was no knowledge, it created a lot of distress for others. So you can see sometimes parents also, in the name of love, they want to offer so many things to the children. But it's not necessary that it will all develop into properly. It can create difficulties for them. Because behind that love, there is no knowledge. That is the problem. So just like when somebody has come home and he's a diabetic patient, and if you give him a lot of sweet rice and tell him, please have it, he wants to run away from the sweet rice because he knows it's going to be a problem for him. But in the similar way, our expression of love is like that, isn't it? We express the love in that way. So, but what will happen to him, that this is what we say, you love somebody and kill him. Killing someone with love. This is what that is. So, expressing that love, behind that, there is no knowledge. Therefore, because when the love is coming from inside, freely flowing, it's Krishna that is coming out. It's Krishna that is coming out from inside in the form of this love. So, if you remember, Brahman has Satya Chitta Anandam. It is the Ananda Kala, that Kala, Anandam, that is what is coming out in the form of Priyam. Because if you remember, when Krishna appeared in this world, Vasudeva and Devaki also had a glorification of Krishna at that time. And they stole, Krishna said to them, you should love me as a child. And Vasudeva and Devaki was very pleased about that, to love as the child. Because that vasana inside them were there for a many, many few lifetimes behind them. And putreshana, it is called, attachment to the child, putreshana. Putreshana was there. And in two previous lifetimes, they appeared as Prishnigarbha, as Vamanamurti. And they performed so much austerities and penances. And for them, it was a weakness, having a child. It was a very weak weakness for them. So when they stole him, when Krishna told them that you should love me like a child, they were very happy. They were very happy. But Krishna added one more thing to it. What did he say? He said, you should have that Brahma Bhavana inside, which they didn't want. This is happened in their life. What to talk about our life? If it can happen in Vasudeva and Devaki's life, Yuvamam Putra Bhavena Brahma Bhavena Chasakrat Chindayindo Kritasneham. That is how Krishna said, Yuvamam Putra Bhavena, you should look at me as your child and show all your affection for me, but same time, Brahma Bhavena Chasakrat, the Brahma Bhavam should be there. Brahma Bhavam didn't happen, only Putra Bhavam happened. That was what the problem was. That's what has happened in their case. Yuvamam Putra Bhavena Brahma Bhavena Chasakrat Chindayando Kridasneho. So when there is no Brahma Bhavam, there is only Putra Bhavam, then there is trouble. Then there will be trouble. There is no question about that. That's what he is saying here. That when you add that, it is to get this point across that verse in the Bhagavatam. That any priyam, love from inside, if it comes, it flows towards another person. If it is not mixed with knowledge, that priyam will end up in distress at the end. This is the principle behind it. Yuvamam putra bhavena brahma bhavena cha sakrat chindayando kritasneham. It is in the third chapter, in the tenth canto. Third chapter, you will see this. 45th verse. Yuvamam putra bhavena brahma bhavena cha sakrat chindayando kritasneho yasyede malgadim param. Then what Krishna said was, if you do that, what will happen is, you'll keep on thinking about me and eventually you will come back to me. Eventually you will come back to me and you will get released from this body. This is how Krishna puts it to them. And even after Krishna has spoken, it didn't happen. And then when Krishna realized it, that after so many years, Vasudeva and Devaki is still having that same consciousness, unable to free themselves from the identification with the body, that's when Krishna sent Sri Narada Maharshi to them. You know that story, don't you? The incident, how it happened. That Krishna had to tell Narada Maharshi, go and talk to my parents and get them out of this maya, what they were in. Vasudeva and Devaki is thinking, oh, Krishna is our son. He is always our son. They will say like that, isn't it? Whoever he may be, he is our son. That's the way they are thinking. Krishna says, I am everybody's son. That is, Krishna is concerned, I am everybody's son. So that's where all the problems started. And Narada Maharshi went and spoke to Vasudeva and Devaki. Because by now, Vasudeva and Devaki started realizing that there is somewhere this missing, something missing inside. And it is only then Narada Maharshi told them that I will talk to you a discussion between King Nimi and the Navayogis, which happened in Mithila many years ago. And the whole episode again brought back into Nimi Navayogi Samvadam, which Sri Narada Maharshi speaks about that to Vasudeva and Devaki. So that is the important point. So so Krishna says to Vasudeva and Devaki, you can love me, but with that you add that I am also Brahman. That way you can love me. Otherwise not. Otherwise trouble. In the Shastram, what they call it is Gradhanyayam. This is called Gradhanyayam. Gradhanyayam means somebody got sick, very sick, by taking a lot of ghee. While cooking, they used a lot of ghee and ate a lot of ghee. He got sick. So he went to the doctor, Ayurvedic doctor, and Ayurvedic physician told him, I'll bring you some medicine for that. So he brought some medicine, and that was also made of ghee. So he says to him, why, doctor, you are giving me ghee? I'm already sick with the ghee. The doctor told him, this is also ghee, but I added something to that. And that will get you out of that problem. But it has to be with the ghee, he said. So, so similarly, attachment was there. The love has come because naturally the directed, it is a Prakriti's agency, material nature, creates that feeling in the parents for loving the child. It is a material nature's arrangement. Prakriti does that. In the mother, that feeling for the child. Who creates that? Only to that particular child. That feeling has come from the Prakriti. Material nature has put that in the mother's mind. That flows freely. Same thing with the father also. So that is not that you can't stop it. But if it is not mixed with the knowledge of Brahman there, then it will end up in problems. So that is what he says. So Sneham, the love, is coming from the Antaryami. It comes from the Antaryami. And our selfishness, this is called selfishness in the spiritual world, spiritual life. That priyam that is coming from inside, it is, you may think that it is a selfish thing. You can't deny that. In the Upanishads, how they put it is, tasya priyame eva modo dakshinapadaha modo uttarapakshaha ananda alma. That means, Vedam says this, Brahman has priyam. Brahman has by nature itself, it has got priyam. The head is the modam. One of the wing, it's like a bird they are covering. They are bird they are comparing. One of the wings is modam, other one is called pramodam. And anandam is the heart of that bird. Anandam is the heart of that bird. So priyam what we talk about, normally we think it is towards the objects outside. But by proper analysis and proper reflection, and we will know that priyam is not coming from the object, but it is within us. It is within us. The root of that priyam is the soul, where it's coming from. Wherever you will find happiness, because Antaryami inside decides whether to release the priyam to a particular object or not. That decision we don't make. The Antaryami makes that decision to a particular person, whether I should have priyam towards that person or not, that is decided by the Antaryami inside. So, all what is happening is that all the objects outside, it is only doing one thing. What does it do? It actually reflects that happiness inside. That's what the object does. Whenever we feel, say for example, if you feel attachment to any object in this world, the priyam that comes from the soul, Antaryami decides that, to release the priyam towards that object or not. What the object does is, it simply reflects it back to us, that priyam that's coming from inside. There is a famous prayer, Dakshinamurti Stotram. In that Dakshinamurti Stotram, the first verse itself, is brings out this point very strongly. Vishwam darpana drishyamana nagari. It says, whatever we have in this world, our connection with the world is through ragadvesham. Is it not? That I say, I like something. I like this plant. I don't like the other plant. I like this flower. I don't like the other flower. And in the world also, inside is the decision that makes everything. That means, whatever we have decided inside, according to our ragadvesham, that comes out in the through the through to the world, and the world experiences that. Vishwam darpana drishyamana nagari, it says like that. That means that the world, what we see, is nothing but a reflection of the Vishwam darpana drishyamana nagari tulyam nijandargadam pashyan atmani mayaya bahirivol bhutam katha yatha nidrayam yas sakshal kurude prabodha samaye svatmanameva advayam tasmai shri gurumurtaye namaidam shri dakshinamurtaye. Vishwam darpana drishyamana nagari, he says that whatever you are seeing outside is inside us. Is inside us. This is what we are seeing outside. And unfortunately, what has happened in us is our attention has gone outside, not to the inside. Therefore, everything we think it is outside. It is a very ignorant realization, I would put it that way, to think that happiness is coming from the outside object. Happiness is not coming from the outside object. Happiness is coming from inside. Priyam comes from the soul. If Atma, the soul, withdraws as Priyam, the object has no meaning anymore to us. Any object or any person for that matter doesn't mean anything to us. So just like if you walk on the street, some people you know, some people you don't know. People whom you don't know, no relationship with them, no connection with them, they go their way, we go our way. But if you know somebody, immediately from inside, Antaryami releases a certain emotions towards them, towards that person. But it is from the Antaryami that decision comes, to whom the Priyam should go and where the Priyam shouldn't go. Or someone if you don't like, you turn the head other way and you walk away from them. That's also decided from inside. Is it not? So that person hasn't done, is not at that point creating any, making any decision. Where was the decision made? Not in the person, it was inside here. That's why they say, Dakshinamurti Sotram says, Vishwam darpana drishyamana nagari. Then it is a mirror, this world is a mirror. If inside is clear and pure, the world will have no problem. Towards everyone, the Priyam will have the same effect. But if inside there is a lot of problems, it's not pure, in other words, a lot of ragadvesham inside, then we will see the world also. Some people say like that, that everyone is a problem in this world. They say like that sometimes. So sometimes it happens that way, that we blame everybody else, but the problem is within us. So that is why, little by, in this way, the idea is that somehow or the other, to get the attention away from the world towards the soul. Away from the world towards the soul. So that is what is the spiritual journey. That's the spiritual journey. To get our attention from the world outside towards the soul inside. Because that's where everything is happening. But in mistakenly or in ignorance, this is what is called ajnanam or avidya. Thinking that everything is, the world is a problem, everybody is a problem here. There is nobody a problem. Problem is right inside here in us where it is happening. So therefore, what did Sudeva Goswami say in the beginning of the Bhagavatam? He says there that he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit at that time, that first of all, he says, the first incarnation of Krishna in this world, if you look into Bhagavatam, you will see, is this world. World is Krishna's first incarnation. You know that. In the second canto, if you look, we think that fish incarnation, tortoise incarnation, Malsyam Gormam Varaham, boar incarnation, Narasimha Murthy incarnation, that is not the first incarnation. First incarnation, as far as Sudeva Goswami is concerned, is this world. World is Krishna. That is how he puts it. You'll see that in the second canto. If you look in the second canto, first verse itself, first chapter, 26th verse, where he starts there. If you remember this second canto where Parikshit starts, when Sukadeva Goswami started speaking Bhagavatam first time, how he started was, he congratulated Parikshit. Parikshit asked a few questions at that time. isn't it? There's a number of questions there. And in the end, he says to him that Yasyam Sandharyamanayam Yogino Bhakti Lakshana Asha Sambhadi Yogam Ashayam Bhadra Mikshana. He says here that Ashtanga Yogam process, Sukadeva Goswami spoke to Parikshit first. Ashtanga Yoga process. Why? Because in that assembly, there were no great, great yogis were present there. So, and they thought that the right thing to do is to teach Parikshit Ashtanga Yogam now. 7 days left. And so Ashtanga Yogam is the right process. They were arguing. Sukadeva Goswami sensed that very much. So because of that, he started talking to him about Ashtanga Yoga process. He wanted to do it in this way, talking about Ashtanga Yogam and talking about all other yoga process and to tell him about bhakti at the end. He kept the bhakti for the last. That's why eventually everything Krishna brings and ties it down to bhakti at the end. In the 11th canto, that's what you find. Also in the 12th canto. So Ashtanga Yoga was the beginning of the conversation between Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit. So when Ashtanga Yoga was discussed, there's a process called Dharana Dhaya. How to perform Dharana? Yamam, Niyamam, Asanam, Pranayamam, Pratyaharam, Dharana. When Dharana comes, how should I perform the Dharana? That is how the question came from Parikshit. How should I perform the Dharana? Dharana means after you have got a control of your body and the mind. Yamam, Niyamam, Asanam, they are all for the body. Pranayamam, Pratyaharam, Dharana, for the mind. So when Dharana stage comes, by now you are practically in a complete control of the body and the mind. And then you are in a position to completely focus on the form, Krishna's form, and be situated in that state, ready to leave the body. That was Parikshit's intention. So he was asking that question, how should I perform Dharana? What form? In which way should I do that? So when the question of Dharana came, immediately Sudeva Goswami says, let me talk to you about Krishna's, who is Krishna first of all. And the first time he presented Krishna is this world. That is why you will see there, verse 26 onwards, Padala medasya hi padamoolam, padhandi parshni prabadera satalam, mahatalam vishyasrajoda gulbhav, talatalam vai purushasya jamkhe. This is actually nothing but the Purusha Suktam prayers. Purusha Suktam prayers in the Bhagavatam has come as these verses, starting from 26 in the second canto of first chapter. Padalamedasihi padamulam padandi parshni prabadera satalam mahatalam vishyasajoda gulbhav talatalam vai purushasya jankhe. Mentions there that padalam, the lower planetary system, is the feet of Krishna. It's Krishna's feet. Viral Swarupam. It is called Virat Swarupam. His feet. Rasatalam is the western side of the feet. And Mahatalam is the ankles. Talatalam is the part of the leg before above that. And then he keeps on describing different parts of the body there. Of this creation itself as Krishna's body. Krishna's body is this creation. And different planetary systems are a part of that body, of Krishna's body. So these, in Puranam, you will see this, three planetary systems representing Krishna's body. Representing Krishna's body. So that is how it was presented to him. So, Padala Medasahi Padamoolam. And Sukadeva Goswami said this to Parikshit in this way. Hearing that, that Parikshit started thinking, for us it's a good news that the whole world is Krishna. If somebody says to you like that, the whole world is Krishna, then we say, it's a very nice concept, isn't it? Our family is Krishna, so let me serve my family rest of the life. Everything very nice and very happily goes away in that way. So, and then we will bring the duty into it. And you'll say, I got this duty towards my family members and I'm properly situated now, I'm serving Krishna. In this way, our understanding will go. So, then also gives you an excuse, I don't have to do any sadhana anymore. All I have to do is to do my duty at home. A lot of people talk like that, isn't it? I don't have to do any more sadhana. All I have to do is to look after my family because Krishna is this world, whole creation is Krishna. It will go like this. So, so you can try that, but I can tell you, and Bhagavatam also says this, you will never be happy with that situation. Pravanjam creation, it says that it is Krishna. And you start thinking like that, Krishna is this creation, but it's not only you can think like that, in realization it can't happen. That's the problem. You can think like that and feel happy, but in realization it cannot happen. Because if you see an object outside and you will never be able to think that that is Krishna. It's a very difficult thing. Because first of all, you have to come back from the object to the person who is seeing it. You have to start from that point. You can't start with the object first. So, eyes are seeing the object outside, isn't it? Eyes are seeing the object outside. But just because you have the eyes, you can't see. You can't see because of the eyes alone. Because who sees actually? The mind is seeing through the eyes. The world is perceived by the mind through the eyes. But behind the mind, as a witness to this mind, and all the chittavritti means all the thoughts that is happening, all the chittavritti that is going on, there is inside who is a witness, who is a drashtava, and if we give attention to that, that satta that is inside, if you give attention to that, then the sadhana will become better. Then the sadhana will become better. Sadhana will become better. Sadhana will become better. In other words, if the attention falls away from the object in this world towards the person from where it is experienced, and they call it a samyama yajnam. Samyama yajnam means that sometimes it may work, sometimes it may not work. Because we are not responsible for that. We are not responsible for that. Anything what we do here, if we show cleverness in this, our cleverness in that, what will happen is that it will come against us in spiritual life. Anywhere, if we express our cleverness in any level, it will come against us in spiritual life. That's the way it happens. So, so in the here in the Mujugunda is saying to Krishna that I have thought about this life a lot. He's saying, I thought about it a lot. Labdhva jano durlabha matram anusham. This human body also is a very, very rare thing. Kadanjil avyangam ayatnato anakham. But to tell the truth, he says here that to get a body which is free from defects itself is a big thing. Sometimes we get all problems with the body, isn't it? That you can take birth with a deformed limbs or problem with senses, something like that. But to get a body itself is very, very difficult. Padaravindam na bhajat asanmatir grihandakupe patito yatha pashu. But even after getting a human body, able to direct that body in the right direction, you require Krishna's grace. Otherwise it may not happen. It may go in the wrong way. Body may be in a good condition, but if the guidance is not proper from inside, from Andaryami, Krishna doesn't take us in the right direction, then we could end up in difficulties later. That is why that this system, what Sugata Brahmarshi spoke to Parikshit did not take it on board. Have you noticed that? He explained to Parikshit, you may wonder why all this, a person is going to leave the body in 7 days' time. And Sukadbrahmarshi is telling him about seeing this whole creation as Krishna and to perform Ashtanga Yoga on that basis, Dharana on that basis. But Parikshit knows very well that's not practical. It is not possible. So, unless the attention goes away to the person who is actually seeing the thing. So, just like when we say sometimes people write down everything, whatever they hear, they write down everything, isn't it? Thinking that it will stay there, but that will not work. Writing down these things will not work. Reason is that it has to happen inside, and if it has not happened, whatever you have written down in the book has no value at all. Has no value at all. So, while listening this Srimad Bhagavatam, anything can happen any moment for anybody. It can happen. Because at a certain time, when the Chittavritti is not there, and Ragadvesham is not created inside, and a state can happen that the person who is speaking and the listening, they can connect with each other. In other words, while listening Srimad Bhagavatam, from inside, Without any reluctance, the message goes directly to the place where it is meant to go. Where it's meant to go. That is the Hridayam, Sarvasejaham Hridisannivishte. That Hridayam, what yogis refer to, Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, is that point where it should directly go, this message. So, in other words, Vachyartham has gone there, Lakshyartham has come. Vachyartham means, you know, remember that, isn't it? Vachyartham means everything has got a Vachyartham, literal meaning, in other words. But it has got a Lakshyartham. Lakshyartham means it is meant to get something done in the person. That's called a Lakshyartham. So, Vachyartham goes away, Lakshyartham comes in. That is the idea behind it. That Vachyartham doesn't help. Vachyartham you can get from books, internet, or anywhere you can find in all the books, Vachyartham will come. But Lakshyartham won't come from that. Lakshyartham will come only if it has got to the point where it is meant to go, where it should go. In other words, in our consciousness, that if it is not causing any disturbances inside in the mind, mind is in a very peaceful state. So, it is a yoga process itself, in itself. Mind is in a peaceful state. If we continuously hear Srimad Bhagavatam uninterruptedly, at some point it will go and touch the place where it's meant to touch. That is why you will notice this Saptaham came like this, the Bhagavad Saptaham, that they have continuous reading Srimad Bhagavatam. You may understand or not, that's another thing. But if you constantly hear the verses, what's in the Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam's potency is so great that if you keep on hearing this, somewhere it will hit you. When it will hit, nobody can say that. It has its effect in that way. Prabhupada also mentions in one or two occasions, he says, if I was not doing this preaching, traveling around doing this, I would, the only thing what I wanted to do was to get a copy of Srimad Bhagavatam and sit somewhere in Vrindavanam and simply read Bhagavatam, he said. So that is the potency of Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is why for a in the Salsangam, if it happens even for a second, it has a Salsangam has become effective. Otherwise, it has become only that you have heard the sound. Just like they say, Acharyorani Adhyasal Andeva Sittararani Talsandhanam Pravachanam Vidyasanti Sukhavaha. Remember that? You can keep on hearing, but little by little, but Shraddha should be there. Concentration. It is not concentration actually, this Shraddha here, because simply to sit there and to listen. That's all it is. So, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is not based on the concentration, how concentrated you are. Concentration is not the key. It is Shraddha means that simply sitting and listening, even if one falls asleep, doesn't matter. But simply hearing that sound, it will have this effect that if the mind gets moved inside, let it move. But, and not to insist that I should understand something. Understanding is not the key. Understanding is not the key. Why I am keep on repeating this issue is because we are so used to mind and intelligence. We think that everything should come through my mind, come through my intelligence and then pass. only then I will accept it. And this is the same problem we were talking about yesterday also. The disciple told the spiritual master that unless I'm convinced what you are saying. So he said, okay, you kept on talking. And in the middle of the night, he told you, he said, I can't handle it anymore. I want to go and sleep, he said. So when he started sleeping, he woke him up and told him, no, I want to talk to you about Upanishads, he said. So he says, no, I don't want Upanishads. I want to sleep now, he said. So the point is this, that if we make ourselves available to hear, if we make ourselves that nature in us, that let me hear Bhagavatam, whatever I get from that, that decision is Antaryami's decision inside. If you develop that mood, it will become a lot easier. But otherwise, if you start judging everything and start saying, oh, if it's worthwhile listening or not, then Bhagavatam won't work. Bhagavatam won't work. So, that is what the problem process, they call it a Shravanam, isn't it? Many people, they think like this, that whatever I'm hearing, they will think like that, then, oh, I heard Bhagavatam, I read all that, there's nothing in there, they'll say. What's there so much to read in the Bhagavatam? They'll come up with this kind of conclusions. So, Sadhyo, Havirudhyade, that is why all these things are spoken in the beginning of the Bhagavatam itself. Sadhyo, Havirudhyade, Etra, Kridvi, Shishru, Shubhi, Talshanat. He says there, isn't it? Sadhyo, Havirudhyade, Etra, Kridvi, Shishru, Shubhi, Talshanat. You may be surprised why such a statement in the beginning of Bhagavatam. When Bhagavatam begins, there itself, Srimad Bhagavate Mahamunikrate Kimvaparair Ishwara Sadhyohrid Yavarudhyadetra Kritibi Shushrushubi Talshanad, it says. So, how do you understand that word? Sadhyo, Krishna is saying that Mahamunikrate, Vedavyasa Maharshi compiled Srimad Bhagavatam, Kimvapare Ishwara Sadhyohrudhya. As soon as you are hearing Bhagavatam, Ishwara Sadhyohrudhya Virudhyade. Krishna walks in to that person. It is all spoken in literal language. Basically, what it's saying is, Andaryami inside, Avirudhyade Tekradibi Shushru Shubi Talshanat. As soon as you start hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, he is ready there to listen. But then, when to release that to you, that is in the independent decision made there. Andaryami makes that decision when to have it or not. Whether that impact of what the Andaryami has heard inside, because Bhagavatam is all about Andaryami, isn't it? About Krishna inside. So when we are discussing about Krishna, Krishna is there to listen. What are they talking about me? That is Krishna's mood. Krishna is looking at us and seeing, what are they talking about me? And when Krishna is speaking and Krishna is listening from inside, when Krishna hears that, when to release that experience to the jiva, that is completely in Andaryami's hands, not in our hands. That's why I'm saying mind and intelligence is not of any use there. All what is required is no chittavritti inside, willing to sit and listen to Bhagavatam. That's all it is. So here, so that is how he begins. And there's nothing to come from outside. That you have to remember. Everything what is spoken in the Bhagavatam is inside us. About whom we have talked about, everything, it is inside. Because our own existence, the seat where we are situated, is within here. Is within here. That means awareness, avabhodam, bodham, prajna, jnapti, all these words are related to that. You will see in Mujgunda, in his prayers, what the words he has used. What did he say to him? He says here, that Mujgunda says to Krishna, if you look, they will see there, in the end of his prayers, that is verse number 57. 58 is the last verse of Mujgunda's glorification. In the 57th verse, he says to him, Tvam yapti matram purusham vrajamyaham, he says. The nyapti is the word he has used, nyapti. Tvam nyapti matram purusham vrajamyaham, he says, isn't it? You say, Tasmad Vrasrajya Shishamisha Sarvato Rajastama Satya Gunanu Bandhanaha നിരഞ്ജനം നിർഗുണമദ്വയം പരം ത്വാം ഞപ്തി മാത്രം പുരുഷം വ്രജാമ്യഹം. സോ ദർ ഹി ഹാസ് യൂസ്ഡ് ദിസ് വേർഡ് ഞപ്തി. ഞപ്തി ഇസ് ദ വേർഡ് ഫോർ കൃഷ്ണ ഇൻ ദി ഇൻ ദ. സോ ഹിയർ യു ക്യാൻ സീ ദാറ്റ് nothing to come from outside. Krishna is very much present inside this heart. And this awareness that is coming from there, I am, aham asmi, that awareness that is coming from there, and that is not coming from the body, not coming from the mind, not coming from the intelligence, it's coming from the soul. Awareness of our existence. I am existing, I am aware of that all the time, isn't it? Consciousness, in other words. That's not coming from the body, mind or intelligence. This word consciousness is always a very, it's a word a lot of people have a lot of questions about it, isn't it? Even medical science hasn't come to any conclusion about the consciousness yet. They know the thing called consciousness, they also accept it. But what is the source? That they don't know. Bhagavad Gita is very clear about it, that consciousness is Brahman. Consciousness is Brahman. Prajnanam Brahmam, it says. One of the four Mahavakyam is Prajnanam Brahmam. Prajnanam means consciousness is Brahman. So consciousness is the only solid evidence we have got of the existence of Krishna. Isn't it? Nothing else we know about Krishna. But consciousness we know, it does exist. So Krishna is present in everyone in the form of consciousness. So that's why this consciousness is given so important. That's what Prabhupada called it as Krishna consciousness. That is the reason why he could have selected any other word, but he used that word consciousness there. Krishna consciousness. Krishna is that consciousness. But consciousness is Krishna, nothing else than Krishna. So that is why he mentions here that, so that in different words in the Bhagavatam you will see, that satta inside, satta means what, satta is that essence inside. Satta matram nirvisesham niriham. Satta, that is what is present inside. Its swarupam is Krishna. That consciousness, what we are all experiencing in every body, everyone, or who is experiencing that consciousness, its manifested form in front of us is Krishna. Consciousness is Krishna. In other words, consciousness is Brahman. Upanishads will say consciousness is Brahman. Bhagavatam will say consciousness is Krishna. That's all the differences. We have, as you know, that every individual soul is identified with three potencies, isn't it? Satta, Chitta, Anandam. Satta means what? Satta means I'm existing, isn't it? These three things we must always remember about ourselves. Satta means I'm existing all the time, awareness of my own existence. That is a truth. That's the truth which you cannot take it away anytime. Remember all the examples we spoke about that. That even if you are in a dark room, still you are conscious of your existence. You may not be conscious of others' existence, but your own existence, you are conscious of it all the time. All the time. Chit Shakti, because of the presence of the Chit, we are able to become conscious of other objects in this world. Isn't it? Everything else is known through the Chit. You know about yourself through the Sat. Sat is that makes you aware of your own existence. Chit is that thing that makes you aware of everything else in this world. If there is no Chit Shakti in us, we won't know the existence of this world, existence of anything else in this world. And Anandam, that is is that aspect, Kala, they call it Kala. Kala, Ananda Kala, Sat is another Kala, Chit is another Kala. Sat is one color, Chit is one second color, and Anandam is the third color. Anandam is that color from there Priyam comes. Priyam or happiness, what we experience in this world, all comes from there. So everything, Sat, Chit, Anandam is our Swarupam. And the interesting thing is, in Sushupti state, in the deep sleep state, and everybody is experiencing that. And that's what the Upanishad says. Upanishads says that. So, this is something, a very amazing revelation of the Upanishads. If you go through the Vedam, in all the Vedic literature, Upanishads and everything, that nothing is so amazing like this revelation of the Vedam. Because the reason is this, that what is the greatest surprise or greatest amazing thing in the Vedam? That God you are inquiring after, which is addressed as Bhagavan or liberation or Brahman, He is there every night with you in the deep sleep state. Yeah. Somehow it is very difficult to get this point across to people's mind, that when we go into that deep sleep state, what's happening to us? We leave this body, leave it behind, the mind, intelligence, ego, body, everything we left behind, and we go and sit with him inside. Along with him, we are there together with him. And Upanishad says, is there anything more wonderful than this to know? That we keep saying, where is God, where is God? We inquire of this God everywhere in the world. And eventually we come to the conclusion, God doesn't exist. That's the conclusion we get. And here, every night, we go into deep sleep state. We go, leave this body, leave the mind, leave the intelligence, leave the ego, everything, and goes there and stay with him for a certain period of time. And when we come back from there, But what happens is, we look at that deep sleep state with the greatest disgust now. People start thinking, what is there? I slept so many hours. And we just think that it's only to take out the body's fatigue. That's what I'm sleeping for a few hours. And we are more concerned about the bed, what we have got, the bed sheet, the quilt, everything is in order. That's all we are concerned about. That's our importance to the sleep is concerned. The importance what we give to the sleep is the bed, what we have got is a good bed, so it give any problem to the back and comfortable. This is our understanding of the sleep, isn't it? That's how we, most of the people look at the sleep in that way. Nothing more than that. But Upanishads are telling us, look at the sleep in this way. That is the time where individual soul, what we are actually, leave everything behind and goes, enjoys this wonderful time with the truth. Wonderful time with the truth. It's an amazing revelation in the Upanishads. So, Aparaha na viduhu. Yajnavalkya Maharshi says this. They don't know about it, he says. So, when we go and we are together with Krishna there, in that deep sleep state, and it is happening every night to everybody. Mandukya Upanishad mentions like this. Yatra supto na kanchana kamam kamayate na kanchana swapnam pashyati tataha sushuptam. Where yatra supto, in that deep sleep state, na kanchana kamam kamayate, all desires have left us. Krishna is telling us in the Bhagavad Gita that prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan. If you are able to give up all your desires, Krishna says you are liberated. In Sushupti, what is happening? There is no desire there, isn't it? Once you wake up in the morning, all the desires are back. That's another thing. But in that deep sleep state, when there is no desires inside, that's what it says. Na kashchana, na kanchana kamam kamayate. Na kanchana swapnam pashyati. What else? You are not even experiencing any dream either. There is no dream and there is no desires. These two are a big problem for us both. Especially when you get older, deep sleep never happens. This is what another important thing. If this has to be understood, you have to remember the deep sleep you had when you were younger days. Old age comes, there's only either awakened state or dream state, mostly dream state. So deep sleep, it's very difficult. Why? Because the vasanas have grown so much inside that deep sleep state, it's not allowing that to happen. That's the difficulty. That's why in the deep sleep state, if it is experienced, when you are young, you get the deep sleep, isn't it? When you're young, when it's not completely gone. So, yatra supto na kanchana kamam kamayate, na kanchana swapnam pashyati tad. There is no swapnam also at that time. Sushuptam, that is sushupti state. He says, sushupta sthanam eki bhutaha. See how Mandukya Upanishad is very precise about that. That sushupti state, eki bhutaha, you are not feeling any separation from the truth. at that time. That itself brings the greatest relief. All the fear goes away from inside. Separation creates a fear inside. Remember? In the Kavi Maharshi statement, you can Manye kutaschil bhayam achudasya padambujopasanamatra nityam uddhigna buddhe asadatma bhavad yatralmana vishwanivartado bhi. There, he mentions there that bhayam didiyadabhinivesatasyal ishadapedasya viparyayo smriti. Bhayam, fear, is because of two. Two means fear. One will be fearful of the other. When there is no two, there is no fear either. Dvaitam brings fear. Dvaitam will bring fear. That's the nature of dvaitam. That's why he's saying here, bhayam didiya abhinivesha tasyal. As soon as you develop dvaitam, there has to be fear inside. So, that dvaitam goes away in the deep sleep state. Mandukyam is saying this, all these qualities of the deep sleep. Eki bhutaha, there is only one at that time. There is no two there anymore. Prajnanakhanam eva anandamayo. Knowledge is in its full. And also what else? Anandamayaha. Full of anandam. That is what that happiness you are experiencing, which you come back and say later, it was a great time. It was a great time. Prajnanakhanam eva anandamayaha. Anandabhuk chedo mukhaha prajna tridiya padaha. Prajna tridiya padaha. And that prajnanam or jnanam or that realization, what is experienced in that sushupti state, he says here, prajnanaganam evam anandamayaha. It is full of anandam. Anandam is that. Sushupti state is anandamayam. It is anandabhuk. Because who is experiencing the anandam? That soul who is experiencing that anandam, he himself has become the anandam. Soul's identity at that time is anandam. More than anything else. Chedo mukha prajna tridiya padaha. That third state. Third state is called tridiya padam. Which is that the jagrat, sopnam, sushupti. Sushupti state. Then what else? He says, esha sarveshwaraha. That state, in that state the soul is sarveshwara. Sarveshwara means he is the same that. The truth is not different from that, the absolute truth. Sarveshwaraha. Esha sarvajnaha. He knows everything at that time. Esha andaryami esha yoni. He is with the andaryami. Andaryami and him are not different at that time. And sarvasya prajnavatyayohi bhutanam. And he is present in everyone as the prajna. Prajna means consciousness. He is present in everyone as the consciousness. So, in the Upanishads, they have mentioned like that. You can see that we don't desire anything in that deep sleep state. We are not dreaming anything. So, all the desires have gone away. The dream is also not happening there. In that perfect state you are situated. Even on a day when you have the greatest distress, you can't carry that distress into the deep sleep. You see, how material nature, how controls us in that way. That she knows that even on the day, suppose somebody died in the home and you are feeling in a great distress, left alone in this world, a situation can happen always. Even when that happens, that distress what you felt on that particular day, suppose you have gone to deep sleep, you can't take it with you there. You have to leave it behind here. Isn't it? You have to leave it behind here. So, what is going on there in that deep sleep state, nobody knows about it. Isn't it? So, that is why Vedantam from one level, it looks at it this way and tells us this, that why we are not able to know about it, what has happened in the deep sleep state. We have no clue what happened in the deep sleep. All we know is that we come out and say that it was a great time. The Vedantam answer for that is what they call as avaranam. Avaranam means that covering potency. Remember, two things. So, avaranam, when avaranam means covering, coverage comes there. Vedantam says the coverage, covering potency. Covering potency and the deluding potency. Two potencies we spoke about before, isn't it? Yeah. Out of that, the covering potency covers everything in the Maya's two potency. We remember that we talked about. Vikshepam and Avaranam. But Vikshepam is what's happening in this vacant state. Vacant state, it is Vikshepam, constantly Vikshepam. In the deep sleep state, it is constantly Avaranam. Avaranam puts a whole cover to the whole thing. It does not allow you to go in and find out what's going on there. That's Avaranam. Avaranam is like that. So, in one level, if you look at it, you can say Avaranam is not there. Actually, it is nothing but a activity with the intelligence. Intelligence is the one that is causing the problem. one time in the Vedantam, all these questions comes up. It says there that why is that in the deep sleep state, the knowledge of the self doesn't happen. Knowledge of the self doesn't happen. Because on the one hand, in the deep sleep state, we have the greatest satisfaction within. So, sushupti or deep sleep state is not an ordinary state. So, not only that, as you get older, the deep sleep state goes away. It doesn't come back anymore. Because most of the time, because of the dream state, what we are in, that the effect of that, the taste of that sushupti state also, even we don't know now. As you get older, that's what happens. That even a little taste of that sushupti, you can't have it. That goes away by then. So, but if you look, as I mentioned before also this, you look at the small children, when they wake up in the morning, what a big difference between them and us. When they wake up, you look at their faces, it's just like the sun rising. So much happiness inside. Why? Because Krishna's, they haven't got that vasanas inside yet developed, like the way it has developed in us. So therefore, without any vasana, and that deep sleep completely freed from everything, they experience that bliss of the deep sleep state. So when they wake up in the morning, they feel that freshness in their face and freshness in their nature. You can observe all that. On the other hand, with us, we know what doesn't have to be spoken about. when somebody sees us waking up, people will vomit. So, why? Because we also already caught up in the Manomandalam, Swapnam, dream state. That's the mind, isn't it? So, when you get into the Manomandalam, that is the greatest, that's the limit where we go to, in that Swapnamandalam or Manomandalam, and we stuck there. We don't go more than that, to the deep sleep. We are not able to go, because this mandalam is very strong for us at that stage. So, deep sleep is the greatest example for that. The vastu, the object what you are inquiring after, you can see there whether you are good or bad, good person or a bad person, whether you are a brahmana or not a brahmana, all that doesn't matter once you go into a deep sleep state. What Upanishad says is, mata amata bhavati. A mother becomes not a mother anymore. In the deep sleep state, there is no mother, father. Father, abhida, pita, abhida bhavati. Father is not a father anymore. Vedam says like this, whether you are a brahmana or not a brahmana, mother does not become a mother anymore. Father is not a father anymore. If you are a criminal, you are not a criminal anymore in that deep sleep state. In that deep sleep state, isn't it? So even if you have committed some severe sinful activities in this world, that is also not, you cannot carry there to that deep sleep state. In that deep sleep state, you are none of this. In other words, whatever that is in us, in our personality, whether it is good or bad, and whatever we may say about that, it's all finished there. Personality itself is over, gone in that state, isn't it? For example, suppose we talk about samadhi now, many of the things will be very difficult to understand. What does that samadhi mean? You know, in the Shastram, there is a reference to samadhi, which is known as Nirvikalpa Samadhi. They will talk about that. Or knowledge of Brahman realization. If we say all that to anybody now, it won't make any sense. But Sushupti will make more sense to anything than anything else. isn't it? Because Sushupti state is not difficult to understand. Why? Because we are going through that every day. We are going through that every day. That is why Sushupti, Samadhi, they are very closer. In many ways, they are very closer. So if you want to explain Samadhi state to somebody, if you give the example of Sushupti state and give this explanation of the Sushupti state, it will give them a little understanding. If they are reasonable in their understanding, they will accept that. They can accept that. Because if you tell people Samadhi, Nirvikalpa Samadhi or Nirbija Samadhi, there are so many words in the Yoga Shastram. If you mention those things to anyone, it's very difficult to understand that. But Sushupti is one thing anybody can understand without great difficulty. So, and what else is there? The Sushupti state is the one which you never get bored with it. Never gets bored with it, isn't it? For example, suppose you are fond of jalebis. Say continuously 10 days I make jalebis and give it to you. What will happen? On the 11th day you will tell me, can you give me some khichdi? I had enough of it, you will say. But with deep sleep state, has anyone any time complained about it? Never. Can you see the difference between the way we enjoy deep sleep and the jalebi? Deep sleep is never once we have said, I don't want it anymore. I don't want it anymore. From this you can understand that this, not to ignore this thing called deep sleep. Deep sleep state is the state where most of the revelations about the soul is spoken about. 3 or 4 Upanishads out of the 10 major ones covers deep sleep as the topic of discussion. Brihadaranyam is completely deep sleep. Mandukyam is deep sleep. Chandokyam a lot is deep sleep. So deep sleep state, if it is properly, if one gives time to reflect on it and go through it again and again and again, you will see that it makes a lot of sense. There is something happening there, although we can't personally experience at the moment. We can at least understand that in that deep sleep state there is some changes happening in us and some a different experience also. So you can notice also, people who commit the greatest the committing suicide in the world, most of the people, who are they? Those who enjoy too much. They are the ones who commit suicide also. Often you will notice them, like these people, like film stars and celebrities, and or those who are indulging in senses a lot. They have this tendency to commit suicide also, because after enjoying everything with the senses, what to do then? After that, there is nothing to do. The only thing you can do is to kill yourself, leave this world, because there is nothing else in this world to do. as long as you are enjoying, inside you are suffering. That's the way it is. Outside you are enjoying, but inside you are suffering. And this is the one of the things what the rishis, sages, have found out. They found out this truth. They are telling us that that many times you will notice that many times people who are in great distress, they will find some peace inside eventually. They will find some peace inside. It is an important statement also, because it is only people in distress, they can come to spiritual life seriously. They can come to spiritual life seriously. So when this distress becomes very intense, it is then that some people have turned into suicide, and or some severe distress has happened in life, and then they have come to spiritual life. And after some period of time, when the life has become a little bit normal again, say for example a death happened and you are left alone in this world, and then for some time that intensity of that separation has hit you very badly, and you feel it so strongly that for some time you feel totally lost. But after a while, once that has gone away, it goes away day by day, isn't it? And they will realize that when I was experiencing that distress, I had a certain kind of peace inside. That's also, if you observe carefully, you will notice in people. Many times you can observe this with with people when they die. That's when mostly it happens. When death happens in a family, sometimes very close relative, death happens, with whom you had a long-term association. And when the separation happens, a lot of distress happens at that time. But that distress won't remain in the same intensity throughout. After day by day, it comes down. And then it goes only in the memory, it stays after a long period of time. When you are children, very attached to the parents, isn't it? Very attached to the parents. And then when you grow up, 30, 40, 50, sometimes they'll even go. And then you remember that, but after a while, 25, 30 years later, it's just in the memory. I had a father who lived long ago, he is gone. Probably 30, 40 years since then. If you look back, you won't feel that same distress what you felt the day when he left, isn't it? So that is the very nature of this mind. It works like that. So here, thing is that when you are experiencing that distress inside, if you notice carefully, you will see that there was a shanti along with that. There was a shanti also inside. Why is that? Reason is this, that when distress is happening inside, when you have withdrawn your attention from the world quite a bit, everything you are centered around that distress. At that time, inside chittavritti comes down a lot because you started realizing nothing else is valuable in this world. A kind of loneliness develops inside and that brings that shanti at that time. It's a very mysterious thing, that shanti when it comes. So even though externally you may feel distressed and a lot of difficulties in there, inside you will experience a shanti at that time. Now, all the japam, chanting the holy name, dhyanam, meditation and other things. And sometimes people say that I'm not able to do anything properly nowadays. But when there is shanti inside, you notice that you can do those things. So this, it is the, that dukkham, what it does is, it suppresses the personality. You know, we have a personality which is on the surface, what they call a surface personality, that which deals with the world outside. So when that surface personality is suppressed because of the distress inside, you feel a shanti inside. You feel a shanti inside. So when we talk about distress, when we are carrying that with us, and that distress slowly gets rid of, goes away from inside, for some time, our pure identity as spirit soul will give a little revelations into this world. And it is at that time that sukham or shanti, what you experience. Externally, you are experiencing that happiness. And any happiness in this world, after a while, will become a bore. It become a bore at the end, isn't it? But it is only that sushupti thing, what you never will complain against that. What you have experienced in the sushupti state. So, main reason for that is, it is only when you don't have your personality there. Personality has completely gone away. Because with personality, you cannot experience happiness. It is not possible. So many things we have to understand from this sushupti state. So, what is our personality? Personality means keeping the false ego and developing the false ego with various other things adding on to it. That is what personality does, isn't it? Painting the false ego more and more and beautifying it. That is what the personality is all about. And making it bigger and bigger and making a big person in this world. And we make it the siddhantam that is happiness. That's what at the moment we think about it, is it not? So, our daily experience is just the opposite. You see, on a daily level, if you look at it, normally what does people do? How to make themselves big in this world, isn't it? In other words, develop the ego. For that, we go and get all the degrees from the college, university, everything to add on to our name. Or professionally, career or something, we want to go into a higher position, senior bosses or managers or chief executive or whatever, like that. This is all actually, what is the doing? It actually boosts our ego. false ego, isn't it? That's the idea behind it, to be open about it. What else it does? Just because you became the chief executive, you have not got out of the problems yet, have you? Birth, death, old age, diseases for you, for me, for anybody. Nobody has escaped from that. All these achievements in this world is nothing but making that personality ego to grow big. That's what it does. Sushupti, what it does? It throws that personality away and gets the greatest happiness, much higher than what you get with adding on to the personality in the world. Is it not? In the Sushupti state, exactly opposite thing happens. In all, these are important things in the process of knowledge, in cultivating spiritual life. These are important things to know. How will we become humble otherwise? You'll say, we'll attend courses and seminars. That's fine. But Krishna is telling us, Mujunda is saying to us, that jnapti matram purusham pradhanam. That jnapti is you. Because it is in that jnapti, what I am experiencing with you in the deep sleep state. The importance of that is, where I lose my own identity. I lose myself. I lose myself. Personality has gone. In the vacant state, what do? This personality, we make it grow as big as possible through ahankaram. That's what it does. Is it not? That people cannot give up so many things in life because they feel that their position in this world is so important for them. I am somebody, they say, in this world. Some kind of illusion goes into the mind and starts building up. That is that ego boost gets boosted. You say, whether you are a prime minister, president, chief, executive, doesn't matter. Whatever you are doing in this world, you feel that you are somebody in this world, and the ego builds up in, and that ego gets extended to everything else in this world. Into the family, into the extended family, and like this you feel something happening into your person. Everything is happening in the personality there. So personality becomes, grows day by day. And the growth of the personality is the success in the world outside. Getting rid of the personality is the success in the inside. In the success in inside. That's what mentions here. That, so, see, for example, a person wants to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. He got up at the middle of the night and he looked at the watch and he says, it's only 12 o'clock. Let me go back to bed again. So I got still another 4 hours to sleep, isn't it? So where is that thought coming from? Where is that thought coming from? And why is it coming? Because one day he finds this, that all the time, that when he wakes up so early, he wants to go back to sleep again. So from somewhere, happiness must have come to him. That is why he wants to go back to that. Wants to go back to that. Because what is the reason? What is the problem with the vacant state? What's the problem with the vacant state? He makes that comparison at that juncture. Whether I should go back to vacant state, I should go back to deep sleep. If it is only 12 o'clock in the night, and if vacant state is all that wonderful state as they think about it, why he chose to go back to the deep sleep state again? Because inside, Antaryami has given this lesson there. Deep sleep state is superior to the vacant state. Is superior to the vacant state. So, remember, this decision is called the discrimination power inside. To discriminate between the vacant state and the deep sleep state. And at that point, that discriminative power makes the comparison between the vacant state and the deep sleep and makes that decision to go back into the deep sleep again. So, and prefers the deep sleep state at that point. And it says that I want to go back to that state again. And and the watch has given the permission to go back there. And that is when you feel happy also about that. So, on the other hand, suppose the watch has said it is 6 o'clock in the morning. So then you get up, isn't it? I have no choice now, I have to get up. Even if you are a devotee, even if you are chanting 192 rounds a day, even then, whether you are performing deity worship or if you have to go to office, no matter, you still get up. You have to get up. You think it's 6 o'clock, I have to get up now. I have no choice. But given choice, between vacant state and the deep sleep, we prefer, to be honestly to reply that question is, we prefer the deep sleep, not the vacant state. That is the important point, given choice. But when there is no choice, like when if the watch says it's 6 o'clock, then there is no choice. Then you have to get up. There is no other alternative, isn't it? Who says this? This function of this juncture between the deep sleep and the vacant state, Sri Narada Maharshi mentions this in the 7th canto. I've spoken about this before also. If you look into the 13th chapter in the 7th canto, you will see Narada Maharshi puts it very bluntly there. He says there, verse 5. Supta prabhodayo santha almano gadi almadrakke pashyan bandang jamo kshancha maya matram navastudam. Supta prabhodayo santho almano gadi almadrakke suptam prabhodayo sandhi. Supta means the deep sleep state. Prabhoda means the vacant state. That sandhi, that junction between the deep sleep to the vakant state. Almano gadi atmadrik. The jiva wants to go towards the other way, not to this way. Doesn't want to go into the vakant state. Almano gadi atmadrik. It looks towards the soul rather than to the world outside. That's what he's saying there. Almano gadi atmadrik. Pashyan. Why? It is seeing bandham cha mokshanja. Here, in the vacant state, what he is seeing is bandham, bondage. On the other side, what he is seeing is moksham, liberation. Pashyan bandhanja mokshanja, maya matram navastuda. But in reality, that's maya. These things are maya. Because in the realized state, there is no bandham moksham. Krishna has spoken that later on, isn't it? But why we see this difference now, bandham and moksham, that is due to maya. Maya creates that. In reality, there is no bandham, there is no moksham. On an absolute, on a much higher level. Absolute level, there is no bandham, there is no moksham. Krishna has spoken that. Bandho mokta iti vyakhi gunadho me na vastuda. Gunasya maya mulatwal name moksho na bandhanam, he says in the Bhagavatam, Ekadasha Skandam. So, but here you can see that in the 7th canto, Narada Maharshi is saying, Pashyan bandham ja mokshan ja maya matram na vastuda. Bandham and moksham is nothing but maya. But even though it is in maya, this when it happens, you can see our nature is to go towards moksham, not towards bandham. Yeah? So he says here, Supta prabhodayo sandhi atmano gadi sandho atmano gadi atmadrakka. Pashyan bandham cha mokshan cha maya matram na vastuda. So one... So you can see, Atma has no layam, no vikshepam. No layam, no vikshepam. And bandham and moksham is also not a reality. Bandham moksham is also not a reality. Now, normally in the bhakti margam, we will say like this, oh, I don't want to come back here again. That is the bhakti way of saying that. In other words, I want to get liberated. But when you put it in the bhakti terminology, you will say, I don't want to come back to the material world again. Devotees will always say like that, isn't it? I want to go back home, back to Godhead. So many people, you must have heard that, saying like that. I don't want to come back here to the material world again. I want to go back to... But this understanding here, you can see that Sri Narada Maharshi is saying here that that at that juncture, he says, Supta prabodayo sandhi. That sandhi means that junction. At that time, we have not completely come to the vacant state. And we have not gone back to the deep sleep state yet. We have not gone back to the... We have got woken up. We didn't come to the vacant state yet. We have not gone back into the deep sleep state. So, at that time, Sri Narada Maharshi, look yourself. Look at yourself. At that time, that personality is not there. If you very carefully notice it, at that time you will see the personality is not there. Because in that particular junction, he says, what exists at that point is perfection. Is perfection. Because at that time, when there is no personality, you are in a perfect state. You are in a perfect state. The proof of that, he says, you should look at that particular time. You can also look at it this way. When you wake up in the morning, if there is not a lot of chitavritti happening at that time, most of us wake up with millions of thoughts inside. Oh, another day. All the whole day's burden is on your shoulders when you wake up in the morning, isn't it? What you have to do. So, with that worry, you are waking up. So, when it is like that, Narada Maharshi is saying here, that perfection what you are experiencing at that time, he says here that although you are not acquiring anything in that junction stage between the vacant state and the deep sleep, there you have got to that stage, you lost your body, you lost your mind, and everything in the deep sleep state. But a certain happiness that come at that particular point, Narada Maharshi is saying to Yudhishthira, Yudhishthira, take notice of that. Take notice of that. So, interesting thing, when you've gone into that deep sleep state, what has happened was that happiness what you got in that deep sleep state is by losing the body and losing the mind, losing the intelligence. Not by getting anything, rather by losing you got it. It is from this principle only, I remember, that I mentioned sannyasa ashram has born. The principle of sannyasa ashram was developed from this understanding. Nowadays, I don't know what understanding sannyasa ashram has got, but anyway, there are so many sannyasis running around in the world in so many forms. But not criticizing them, but I'm saying how deeper level the sages have developed this technology of sannyasam. Sannyasam is not a very joke. It's not a joke. It has come from certain understanding. It's not that they came and said, oh, from now on, when you get 50, you change your clothes and take a danda and walk out. No, not like that. Sannyasam has happened because they have analyzed it. Sages, rishis have analyzed in such deeper levels, and they are telling us that if there is a state like this, that after giving up the body and the mind and intelligence and everything, and they understood that in the deep sleep state, when the person goes into that state, the happiness that he is experiencing, which you never get fed up with, which is always never without any trace of any distress that is present there, if such a state can be brought back into the vacant state, that is sannyasa. That's all it is. But that is an important thing to understand that. If somebody asks, what is sannyasam? Sannyasam is this, that by giving up everything, that is why Krishna says, tyagam sannyasa lakshanam. Remember, in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna defines sannyasam like that. Tyagam sannyasa lakshanam. Tyagam of what? Tyagam of everything related to the body, everything related to the mind, everything related to the intelligence, and completely free, going back to the deep sleep state, what that experience. If that experience you get it in the vacant state, you are a sannyasi. Not by holding dandam or changing clothes. Krishna mentions that in the Bhagavatam. That not by changing clothes, not by dandam, Uddhava, you'll become a sannyasi. Tyagam sannyasa lakshanam. That tyagam word in the Bhagavatam carries all this behind it. Tyagam. So, what we think as our own body, we give it up in that sushupti state, isn't it? And we give it up. And still I'm feeling happiness, even when you give up this body. And so where did this happiness come from? It didn't come from outside. It did not come from outside. And it has come from within. From within. From the soul. Antaryami. So, for a short period of time, our own swarupam, our own identity, it has come out in that proper way. our own swarupam identity has come out in the proper way, and there intelligence has no entry. Intelligence has no entry there, and therefore intelligence says to us after waking up that I didn't know anything. That's the reason why intelligence says to us like that when it wakes up. People ask this question that when you wake up, you tell us that you were happy in that deep sleep state. So who is saying this? If it is intelligence, no, it's not intelligence who is saying this, because it mentions here that very well, that it didn't come from outside, and intelligence has no entry into that deep sleep state. It has no entry there. And only the intelligence could talk about it was, I didn't know anything. That's all intelligence could say about it. It is based on this one single experience that Upanishads are telling us that this sukham or happiness, what you are experiencing, it is nirvishesham. Nirvishesham, that's the word they used. That means there is no tinge of anything from the world outside. It's completely pure sukham, proper sukham in other words. All other sukham or happiness what we talk about in this world is tinged with some materialistic ideas, material thoughts, material consciousness is involved. So, and therefore, nirvishesha sukham means that happiness which you cannot get from your own effort. You can't get it. Krishna has to give it to you. Deep sleep, Krishna has to give it to you. And that happiness of deep sleep also, it has to come from Krishna. Not from, by your own accord, you can't get it. That's the point. On your own effort, you can't make it. So, but unfortunately, what happens to all of us is, due to our ajnanam, avidya inside, we think that we are getting it from the objects outside. And in that process, we continue our chase of this world. The world we chase. So removing this ajnanam from inside is called satsangam. Removing this ignorance from inside, to wipe it out from inside, that happiness I am looking for in this world is not coming from the world outside, it's coming from inside. To get that established inside, that's the important point. So because the ajnanam or avidya inside, when that goes away in satsangam, Bhagavatam says, jnanam or knowledge is not something that you have to cultivate. Jnanam is not possible to cultivate. Jnanam, knowledge is already there. Who sentions this? Prahlada says that in the same 7th canto. He says, siddhatva diha sarvada. Something that you've already got it. It's not something that has to come from inside. If you look in the 7th canto, you will see there, Prahlada mentions this. Nahyachyuta prena yato. In the 6th chapter, he mentions when Sri Narada Maharshi instructed Prahlada, he mentions to him that Nahyachyuta, 6th chapter, verse 19, 7th canto. 7-6-19. Nahyachyuta prena yato bahuayaso asuralmaja. Almatwal sarvabhutanam siddhatwal iha sarvadaha. That he says here, nahyachudam prinayado bahuayaso asuralmaja. Almatwal sarvabhutanam siddhatwal iha sarvadaham. The Prahlada's friends who were present there, they were asking Prahlada, Prahlada, why should we not wait? Why do you have to do all this spiritual life now? Why not wait for the old age? So Prahlada started instructing them, isn't it? So Komara Ajarayat Prajno, Prahlada says, there is no time to wait, he said. If it has to happen, it has to happen now. Right now. Kaumara Ajarayat Prajno Dharmam. Bhagavata Dharmam should be taken seriously when you are a child, not at the old age. It mentions there. So continuing that instructions, Prahlada spoke a lot of things, many, many verses. In somewhere, at the 19th verse, he says to him, Nahyachudam prenayato bahvayaso asural maja. He says, to please Krishna is not very difficult. He says, to please Krishna is not very, very difficult. Bahvayaso asural maja. Then, all you have to do, that give up your attachment to sense enjoyment, and look inwards. And what will happen? Atmatval sarvabhudanam. Atmatval sarvabhudanam. He is present in everyone as the soul. He is present as the soul inside. Siddhatval iha sarvada. Because siddhatval iha sarvada. Something what we have already got. It's not a new thing that has to come from outside. That is the point Prahlada is stressing there to his friends. Prahlada is a realized soul already. He has come out from the womb fully realized, isn't it? The truth. So Prahlada is saying to him that Atmatvad sarvabhudanam prasiddhatvaliha sarvada. Krishna is present in everyone as Atma. And he's already, you've already got it. It's not something that has to come from outside anymore. So, it is now, what time is it? It's 9:30. So, we'll have a short break, 15 minutes or so. And so, Prahlada says to his friends, Nehachudam Prinayado, it is not difficult to please Krishna because Atmatvad Sarvabhudanam Siddhatval Iha Sarvada. Prahlada says to them that he is present inside as the soul. Krishna is present inside as the soul. And it is something we already have it. It's not something that has to come from outside. And Prahlada says to him, Narada Maharshi also says that, told Prahlada that while taking birth itself, Prahlada was perfect. With full realization he has come out. And while within the womb of his mother, he already had that realization, who he is, isn't it? Free from the body. So, Bhagavad Anubhuti, you can see that experience of Krishna has happened, all the soul has happened, right within the womb of the mother itself, and experience was possible through knowledge of the soul, But when is that possible? And the only thing is that the recipient, one who is receiving that, he should be ready for it. He should be ready for it. Inside us, there is Bhumika. Bhumika means different steps through which we go in the spiritual path. In bhakti process also, it is there. In Jnana Margam also, there is a different Bhumika, they call it. Bhumika means practically in the bhakti process, when it's spoken, it will be mentioned like this. First hearing, and then association, and then freedom from attachment. In a different levels, it goes like that. In the Jnana Margam, they call it as Anyabhinivesham. Anyabhinivesham means, as long as we have attachment everywhere, anywhere in this world, in any form, then that Anyabhinivesham will block realizing the truth. Anyabhinivesham means somewhere we have some attachment that will block our realization. It will block our realization. So here he mentions here that Anyabhinivesham, when that goes away completely, which is only possible through hearing, Shravanam. Only through Shravanam it is possible. Only it can happen. Because otherwise what will happen is while Shravanam goes on, while hearing is going on, we may have so many different sankalpam inside us about various things. But because the sankalpam is there, all these different ideas or thoughts inside us, we will hear them, but we won't, Shravanam won't happen. We may hear it, but Shravanam won't happen. Because Shravanam means, Shravanam and hearing is two different things. Shravanam actually means what is heard and it is gone in the heart. Then it is Shravanam. But if you have just heard it and mind and intelligence has started evaluating it, then it's not Shravanam. Shravanam is only when it goes inside directly to the heart. Only then it's called Shravanam. So, who is hearing is everything is heard by the mind. You see, everything normally, in normal situation, whatever we are hearing, our mind will keep on interpreting that. That's what happens all the time, is it not? Whatever we are hearing, first thing the mind starts interpreting that. So, and it starts writing its own commentary inside. Inside another commentary is going on whenever something is spoken. Something said, inside there is a commentary will be going on. So, properly, Bhagavatam mentions this, that if you hear properly Shravanam happens in a person, that means without any chittavritti, without being touched by mind or intelligence, in a proper, in a peculiar plane, in a particular state, if you hear, it will have its effect straight away. That perfection, satisfaction or shanti inside will happen. So, normally if you say to somebody, oh, to know that you are not this body, you are not this mind, you are not this intelligence, all these things, it is not much of a difficulty to explain that to somebody. And to know that, experience that I am consciousness, that experience also is not very difficult to convince someone to talk about it on a intellectual level. To explain that to somebody is not difficult. And everybody has got that experience also. So, but if you want to explain to that experience to someone, it's very difficult. Is it not? Suppose people, you say, talk to people, I'm not this body. And you can give the example why you're not this body. Various ways you can explain to them. And many people accept that without much difficulty. I'm not this body. I'm something beyond this body. But when you want to convey that in experience form to say to somebody, that is very difficult. It's very difficult. So therefore, you can see this thing called self-realization is an experience in itself. Till you experience it, you can't explain it to somebody what it needs. You can only bring up like this and present it to people that soul exists, various things what's happening with the soul at different states in life, different stages in different states in life. Like Bhagavatam in Prahlada's case talks about like this. In Jagrat, Sapnam, Sushupti, same person exists. Balyam, Kaumaram, Yavanam, Vardhakyam. That means boyhood, youthhood, old age. All these things, it's the same thing that is going through all of it. Changes are all happening in the body, mind, intelligence, not in the soul. In this way, talking about the soul all the time, we get people will understand that soul is an independent entity in who does not experience any changes that's happening in any other place. For example, if you see from a long distance, a big mountain exists. But when you get closer to the mountain, you can see there that we become a small object on the mountain. When we stand far away from the mountain and look at the mountain, you can see a whole mountain. But you get closer to the mountain and you climb the mountain, you start realizing that on this huge mountain, you are a small particle on that, isn't it? And similarly, self is a big thing. But at the moment, what we have is this ahamasmi, ahamasmi, aham, aham, that little realization inside that I am existing all the time. That's all I have at the moment. A very small particle of that big experience, of big consciousness. In a very minute form, in a small form, ahamasmi, ahamasmi, that's present inside me, is the awareness, is my only indication of my spiritual existence. Isn't it? That's my only proof I have at the moment about my spiritual existence. Remaining everything else is not unknown to me. All other aspects of self-realization is unknown to me at this point in time. But only one thing what Krishna has given us, that this situation, ahamasmi, I am, I am, I am, that awareness, which is only a small aspect of that total realization of the self, that is the only actual tangible proof I have at the moment of my spiritual existence. Is it not? So here you can see, as you keep on giving attention to that, you will notice that this aham, aham, aham inside, that perfection, peace is inside that aham also. Anubhuti or the shanti or or the eternity, all these are aspects of that aham. If you analyze that aham, that small particle of that experience, ahamasmi. Ahamasmi means that I am existing, that awareness. If you analyze that within yourself, you will notice that there is that by nature itself, all the qualities of the spiritual qualities are present in that awareness. What are they? Nityam, Shuddham, Buddham, Mukta, Swarupam. That means it's eternal, always there, it's always pure, it's fully conscious, and it's always liberated state. These are the qualities of the soul. And they are all present in that aham. Aham, when it is spoken like that. So, it mentions here, this is available to everyone in this creation. Everybody, every living entity has, particularly in the human species, where it's possible to point out this one thing, that aham asmi, aham brahmasmi, that awareness is possible to be indicated to anyone. So, and even after receiving this awareness, Krishna's presence inside us in the form of this awareness, even after receiving this awareness, we are still looking for God everywhere in this creation, isn't it? So, that is why, if you remember in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Lord Brahma wanted to glorify Krishna, he uses a word used Mahavibhuti. You will notice that in the 8th canto, a number of verses calling Krishna as Mahavibhuti. That is in the 8th canto, in the 5th chapter. Demigods approaches Brahma and they combinedly glorifies Krishna. Combinedly glorifies Krishna. You will notice that is in the page, the 5th chapter, 8th canto, from verse 26 onwards, Brahma Uvacha. Brahma statement. Brahma is saying there that there is a number of verses there. And starting from 28, 26 onwards, that is the prayers. If you go back into the verses from 32, that's where it comes. Padau mahiyam sugrudeva yasya chaturvido yatrahi bhuta sargaha savai mahapurusha almatandra prasidadam brahma mahavibhudi ambhastu yaddetra udare viryam siddhyandi jivandyuda vardhamana logastrayodhagila logapala Prasidadam Brahma Mahavibhudi Somam Manoyasya Samamanandi Divauga Samvai Balamandhamayu Ishonaganam Prajana Prajanam Prasidadam Nasa Mahavibhudi Agnir Mukham Yasidu Jada Veda Jada Kriya Kanda Nimitta Janma Anda Samudre Nubajan Swathadun Prasidadam Nasa Mahavibhudi Yachachurasi Taranir Devayanam Traimayo Brahmanamesha Dishnyam Dwaram Jamukte Ramurtam Jamrutyu Prasidadam Nasamaha Vibhudi Prana Dhabudhyasya Characharanam Prana Sahobalam Ojas Chavayu Anu Asma Samrajam Ivanugavayam Prasidadam Nasamaha Vibhudi Shrotradiso Yasikhrdes Chagani Prajatnirekham Purushasya Nabhya Pranendri Altmasu Sharira Gedam Prasidadam Nasamaha Vibhudi Balan Mahendra Tradesha Prasadam Vanyorgiri Shodhishana Virinjam Gebhyascha Chandam Sushayom Redadakka Prasidadam Nasamaha Vibhudi Shri Vakshasa Pidraschayayosan Dharmastana Aditra Prashtadobhud Dauryasa Shishnopsaraso Viharad Prasidadam Nasamaha Vibhudi Vipramukham Brahmajayasya Guhyam Rajanyam Asid Bujayor Belam Cha Urvor Vidaj Angri Ravesha Dudshudrav Prasidadam Nasamaha Vibhudi Lobhodhara Pridhvaribhudyudir Nastapashavya Sparshena Kama Bhuvoryam Pashma Bhavastu Kala Prasidada Nasamaha Vibhudi Drivyam Vaya Karma Gunan Mishesham Yad Yogamaya Vihidan Vadandi Yad Durvibhavyam Prabhudhava Bhodam Bhadam Prasidadam Nasamaha Vibhudi. So in all these verses, you can see there, Prasidadam Nasa Mahavibhudi. Why? Why is that Mahavibhudi? That Mahavibhudi is Krishna. That referring to, that in what he mentions there, that after working hard in spiritual life, endeavoring a lot, not getting it, but because it's already there, we have got it. It's not something that we have to come from outside. And that's Mahavibhudi is what is present in everyone as the, what Krishna says there, in as the greatest Vibhudi. Remember, Mahavibhudi is the greatest Vibhudi. What is that Mahavibhudi? Aham Sarva. Aham Alma Gudakesha Sarva Bhudashayastida. Aham Adhyanja Madhyanja భూతానాం అంతమేవ చ దట్ వర్డ్స్ దట్ ఈస్ దట్ మహావిభూతి ఇన్ ది భగవద్గీత వాట్ కృష్ణ ఈస్ మెన్షనింగ్ హియర్ ఇస్ మహావిభూతి సో దట్ ఈస్ వై దట్ విభూతి ఈస్ ద గ్రేటెస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ద విభూతిస్ కృష్ణ హెస్ స్పోకన్ ఎ నంబర్ ఆఫ్ విభూతిస్ దేర్ ఈస్ ఇన్ ఇట్ సో నథింగ్ ఎల్స్ ఇస్ ఇంపార్టెంట్ దట్ మహావిభూతి వి ఆల్రెడీ హ్యావ్ ఇట్ ఇట్స్ నాట్ సంథింగ్ న్యూ దట్ హెస్ టు కమ్ ఫ్రమ్ అవుట్ సైడ్ నార్మలీ ఇన్ స్పిరిచువల్ లైఫ్ వీ హ్యావ్ దిస్ కాన్సెప్ట్ అస్ ఐ మెన్షన్ సో మెనీ టైమ్స్ బిఫోర్ దట్ ఐ హ్యావ్ టు వర్క్ అండ్ హ్యావ్ టు గెట్ ఇట్ హ్యావ్ టు వర్క్ హ్యావ్ టు గెట్ ఇట్ అండ్ దట్ కాన్సెప్ట్ వీ బ్రింగ్ ఇన్ టు స్పిరిచువల్ లైఫ్ అండ్ వీ థింక్ దట్ ఐ హ్యావ్ టు వర్క్ వెరీ హార్డ్ ఇన్ స్పిరిచువల్ లైఫ్ నౌ ఫర్ ద రెస్ట్ ఆఫ్ మై లైఫ్ అండ్ దెన్ ఐ విల్ గెట్ ఇట్ వన్ డే ఇట్ ఈస్ ఆన్ దిస్ కాన్సెప్ట్ వీ లివ్ అవర్ స్పిరిచువల్ లైఫ్ ఇస్ ఇన్ ఇట్ బట్ కృష్ణ ఈజ్ సేయింగ్ దట్ ఇట్ డజన్ వర్క్ లైక్ దట్ దట్స్ వాట్ శాస్త్రం ఈజ్ సేయింగ్ టు అస్ that mahavibhuti is present right here inside us it's not by working that you are going to get it not by working we have done everything in this world is through work and get result work get result na karma phala samyogam swabhavastu pravartate krishna mentions that so karmam is not that can bring that karmam cannot bring it that mahavibhuti is already inside there and it's a question of accepting it acceptance has not happened in us Due to avidya, ajnanam inside, we have not accepted it. We have accepted something else in this world. That is the whole complications in our spiritual life. That we are thinking that something that is going to come to me one day, if I do all these things in my life now, I'll do my so much sadhana and so much other things, what I've been told to do. If I do all that, one day it's going to come. But that's not how it happens. It's Mahavibhuti is already present inside. So, whatever you may achieve in this world outside, it is like this. In the cinema, in the screen, you see the mountain, the ocean, and sometimes the king, the minister, hero, heroine, all these things. But nothing is happening in the screen. Similarly, in this Mahavibhuti, nothing is happening. It's all happening. Similar to that, it's all an appearance there. It's only just an appearance there. So, most of the things you can see, that achievements in this world also, after you have achieved it, then you see there is nothing much in that. Isn't it? Most of the things are like that in this world. So, normally you can see a poor man, when he sees the king, he feels envy towards the king. When king has got everything, I have nothing. So, there is Labour Party and the Tory Party also from there. One says, everybody, you should have, one says, oh, you should always have, it should be shared by everybody. Another one says, no, it's only for the few. So, like this, it happens like that, isn't it? So, so, king is thinking, when he sees the sannyasi, he is feeling envy. Oh, he managed to escape from everything. And so, king is feeling envy of the sannyasi. Because he is saying, sannyasi is wandering around happily, doesn't have any headache, no botheration, anything. I am not able to do that. Sometimes, sannyasi, when he kings the king, he is feeling envy towards the king. He has got everything, I have nothing, I have left everything and now I am in trouble. Sannyasi feels like that. So, so in all these things, it is nothing but what they call as marumarichika, the mirage, works there in all these things. So, when we see that something else is the source of happiness, this will always happen. Whether poor man sees the king because he thinks king has got everything. King is feeling envy of the sannyasi, thinks that sannyasi has escaped from all this mess. And sometimes sannyasi feels envy of the king because envious feeling, because he is saying, oh, I've left everything. Because inside he hasn't left it. That's the problem. He hasn't left it inside. So therefore, he feels that, oh, king is, I should have not left it that way. I should have become a king. I would have been happy. All these thoughts will definitely come through their mind. There is no doubt about that. So, so this thing that, what does it indicate? It indicates to us, he has not accepted the reality. That the happiness is inside in that Mahavibhuti. But instead he thinks, if I become something tomorrow, I will be perfect. This is the misconception there. It's a misunderstanding that if I become something tomorrow, I will be perfect. But spiritual life is not becoming something. Spiritual life is accepting what we are. If we become something tomorrow, then it is not spiritual life. Because if something, if you have to become tomorrow, then it's possible that it may change again. There is no guarantee. Something comes, it can go back also. In the similar way, in spiritual life also, if we have to become something tomorrow, and there is no guarantee that we will stay in that state. We are already what we are. That is our spiritual nature, spiritual identity. So, instead of giving attention to the vastu, what is inside, and we are concerned about becoming something tomorrow, that it will happen. In Shastram, the word they used is bhavam. Bhava rogam. It's a disease. It's a disease in every one of us. So, if you look into all the great devotees, their glorifications, prayers, you will see they won't ask for to become something tomorrow. They are not asking that because they understand this principle that you don't have to become anything. Take the ignorance from me. That's all it's necessary. Take the jnanam or avidya from me. I am perfect then. I don't need to become something tomorrow. They are not asking Krishna that I want this, I want that or anything. They are saying to Krishna, I don't want anything. That's what they are saying to Krishna. That's, you will notice this in all the prayers. Vritrasura said the same thing. Na naga prishtam, na cha parameshtyam, na sarvabhaumam, na rasadhipatyam, na yoga siddhi, apunarbhavam va, samanjasatva virahayakankshe. That all that they are saying to Krishna is that, I don't want anything. I don't want anything. This samanjasatva virahayakankshe, separation from him, from Krishna, that is what is bothered Vritrasura. Now, this separation, when it comes, it will go in two directions. From the devotee's point of view, he wants to experience bhakti towards Krishna, so he wants to stay in that state. From Jnani's point of view, he does not want to feel the separation from Krishna, to be with Krishna, all the situation. So, it is two different parts. Way in which spiritually inclined personalities will go. That will depend on the person's samskaram. That you can't change. One who has that shravanam, the bhakti samskaram inside, he would like to go and he wants to be in Krishna's that bhavam or bhakti margam, bhakti rasam, what he wants to enjoy in Krishna's association. He will continue in that process. The jnani goes in another direction. He says to Krishna, that I do not want this separated existence from you and it is for me one and the same. It's no difference. That is why in liberation also you have various types, isn't it? Samipyam, Salokyam, Sarupyam, Sayujyam, Sarshti. Five different kinds are spoken in liberation state. Even in the liberated state. Samipyam is there, Sarupyam, Salokyam, Sayujyam, Sarshti. Devotees won't ask for Sayujyam. Sayujyam, not they don't want. They want other things. Samipyam, Sarupyam, Salokyam, others. But the Jnani, he is after the Sayujyam. He wants the Sayujyam. So these are stages much later. Not in the early days. It does not bother us so much. So he mentions there, Vritrasura says there, I do not want the heavens. I do not want Brahma's position. And that's all, in other words, imaginary feelings he's creating like this. Like here in this world, people say, I want to become prime minister. I want to become the president. And something we want to become tomorrow. Because we feel that only if you become something, you will be happy in that way. So he mentions in different way. So in other words, some people ask for siddhi. Siddhi means to control others in their life. So he mentions there, na yoga siddhi. I don't want even siddhis. What will do it to me? All I can do is to use it for controlling others. That's only the benefit from that. So not only that, he says, na punarbhavam va. I don't have to even bothered about next birth. That also does not bother me. I don't want another birth. Na yoga siddhi apunarbhavam va. He says there. One person asked this question once. What should I do not to take birth again? It's a good question, isn't it? What should I do not to take birth again? So this sannyasi told, are you born now? That was the answer to that. Because you can't answer better than that. What is born? Body is born. That means you have come to the bodily plane and asking questions. Spiritual question from a bodily plane, it won't work. If you are asking a question, what should I do not to take birth again? That means you are completely in identification with the body. So the answer to that question is, are you born now? So because first of all you have to agree with that. He said, if you are born now, then who is born? The question will come. Who has taken birth? Soul is na jayade. Soul has no birth. So who is born? False ego is born. So go, when the false ego goes, then there is no birth, there is no death. It is the false ego that is going through this process of birth and death. Birth and death, jiva. Oh. So so you can see when you inquire, it is a brahmam. It's a puzzle to everybody. What happens, isn't it? So you can understand that it's due to the ignorance or avidya in me, I am experiencing that brahmam. Because the vastu inside, purna vastu, it has neither birth nor death. It is neither birth nor death, and it is always present. Nitya siddhatvam. What does Prahlada says? Almatval sarvabhudanam siddhatval iha sarvada. Everybody has got it. Siddhatval, he has got it. So he says, so through knowledge, when we come to know about ourselves, then there is no birth, there is no death. So, and that vastu, which is available to all of us, na punarbhavam va, does not samanjasva virahaya kankshe. Because if you have something outside, as soon as you identify with the body, that your desires builds up, that you think that you have to become something else. This becoming something else has come from that, due to the identification with the body. When you are in identification with the body, this idea of becoming something will be there in us. So that is why whether you follow process of Jnana Margam or Bhakti Margam, this problem will always be there, that I want to become something much later. I want to become a devotee, or I want to become something later. From a spiritual point of view, those statements have no meaning. In Vyavaharam, you can use it. I want to become a devotee. I want to come back to Godhead. But once you come to spiritual life and you have spiritually properly understood things, those statements makes no sense. It has no sense at all. Because in this reason is this, that everything from a bodily identity we are speaking all the time, isn't it? We are not conscious of it. We think we are in spiritual life, but we are engaged in all transactions through the body. So, based on the bodily identity, we are seeing things. And in bodily identity, the main problem is that I want to become something tomorrow. Why? You are identifying with the body, which is a temporary thing. Whereas, if your identification with the soul is complete, this disease will go from us. Becoming something. Because in spiritual identity, you always feel eternity. Eternal existence is there in spiritual identity. In bodily identity, you have a temporary feeling. That is why you want to become something tomorrow. It doesn't go away easily from inside. That's why he mentions there that samanjasatva virahayaka ankshem, that viraham, separation from the soul. When Vritrasura says this, jnanis will speak in one way, devotee will see it in another way. Devotee will say, I am separated from Krishna, I am feeling the separation. Jnani will say, I am separated from the Brahman or Parabrahman or Paramatma, I am feeling that separation is the cause of my distress. They will put it in that way. So in reality it is one and the same thing, but spoken in two different ways according to the process what you are following there. That's all it is. So, in the Upanishads, particularly in Brihadaranyakanishad and Kathopanishad, they talk about this. What do they say? Yada tad esha shlogo bhavati. Yada sarve pramuchyande kama esha hridishrita. Adha martyo amrudo bhavati atra brahma samashnute. So, these words occurs in few Upanishads. It says, when all the all the knots of the heart are broken from the freedom from the desire, when the, like a bird which desires, whose nest is open and it wants to fly away from there. Similarly, when this identification with the body breaks up, we want to fly away from this body. We want to fly away from this body. And that is when we become immortal. That's when we become immortal. Up to that, now we are mortal, isn't it? Somebody asked, we are mortal. We are mortal now. But when, like a bird wants to break its cage, when the cage is open, it wants to fly away. The person who is endeavoring for self-realization, at a point when the knowledge has sunk and it has started taking effect inside, at one point, he wants the body to drop and he wants to fly away from this body once for all. Doesn't want to come back to this body again. Doesn't want to come back to this body again. And then that release, he says, mentions here, it is there in Kathopanishad, it is there in the Brahmadaranya Upanishad also. In two Upanishads, its same words appears like this. So, yada sarve pramuchyande kama yesha hridistrida adha martyo amrudo bhavati atra brahma samashnute. Martian man becomes amrudo bhavati, he becomes immortal. He becomes immortal. Immortality is that state that there is no more nothing left inside the heart, then the mortal becomes immortal at once. So, how did we become mortal? What makes us mortal from immortality? Immortality and mortality is due to desire. When you have desires inside, we are mortal. When all desires goes away, we are immortal. We are immortal. It's the desires that makes that division between mortality and immortal. But normally, what does people think? People normally think that, oh, if this body is mortal, I am immortal. But they are thinking that if I don't get another body, I will be immortal. Or I'll get into my spiritual body. Put it like, in the Bhakti Margam, it is like that. Bhakti tradition will say, if I get my spiritual body never die, we say, isn't it? Whereas material body dies. So, but we want a body, from material body we want to switch on to spiritual body. That is the immortality in the bhakti way. But in the Jnana Margam, they will say like this, that as long as you have desires inside, you will have a body. Whichever body it is, as long as you have a desire inside, it is the seed for the next body. Desires inside. Krishna mentions that, isn't it? Prajahadi yadakaman sarvan partha manogadan alpanyev alpana tushta prasadam abhigacchati. So there he mentions desire is that thing what is creating another material body again. So mortality is a condition that is imposed on the spirit, upon the spirit due to the desires. It is in its nature. Essentially, we are not mortal. We are supposed to be immortal. But that immortality means deathlessness. In other words, eternity. That will only come when we move into the spiritual state, into our spiritual state. Otherwise, it's not possible. So now, here, you will see, Muchukunda says to Krishna that Muchukunda was not an ordinary king. The king is talking, saying this to him. In Sola dynasty, in the Ikshvaku's lineage, he has conducted the administration of the kingdom, and all of those great personalities who were in that tradition were all great yogis. Ikshvaku, Manu, all of them were born in that tradition. And Muchukunda is saying to Krishna, and Krishna has appeared, and Muchukunda is sleeping there, and Krishna is standing there. Muchukunda opened his eyes, and Krishna is standing. And Muchukunda has asked the demigods for this. They couldn't give it to him. And they told him to go and sleep. So he has come and slept in that cave for such a long time. And when the right time has come, Krishna has come. So, so behind this, you can see something else. That for the sake of self-realization, you don't have to particularly do anything. When the time is the right time, it will happen. It has to happen. But only thing that is blocking is our own karma. Karma is the thing that is blocking everything. What happens is, so people ask, what sadhana should I do to become realized, to realize the truth? There's only one sadhana what we have to do, not to increase the karma. That's the main sadhana. The more we get involved in the karma, it becomes a blockage for the realization. Because karma means karma vasana. Karma vasana means another seed is sown. and then it will fructify one day, and that means we have to have another material body to exhaust that karma again. So that is the main sadhana. So you can see Muchukunda understood this principle. That is why he is saying, I don't want it anymore. I have done it enough. And that the result is like this, I am here now. And he want, so that's why he says, if you look into the verses, you will see, Bhava Bhavargo Hi. Look at the verse number 54. He says, Bhava Bhavargo Brahmado Yadha Bhavel Janasya Darhyachuda Sal Samagamaha Sal Sangamo Yarhi Tadaiva Salgado Paravadeshe Toi Jayate Mati Bhava Bhavargo. He says, addressing Krishna, he says that by accident that my connection with the kingdom is over, it's finished, and I consider that that is your mercy, that you have given me that blessing, that you have taken me out of this position as the emperor and the king, because by janasya tarhi achyudasal samagamam, so release from that kingdom is is what the great kings pray at that time. They also feel the burden of the kingdom administration, because in them days it was a different setup, isn't it? Kings had the total authority and they had the responsibility of protecting the citizens of the kingdom. So it's a big responsibility on their, they had to maintain an army, they need to have their treasury to support the army and financial facilities. And then overall management, that king took a lot of responsibility, more than what the governments in the modern world will take for the citizen. So naturally they felt that, and but when they want sometime they also want to realize the truth, they want to go away. So their first prayers to Krishna will be, please relieve me from this responsibility of administering the kingdom. They were such great, Yudhishthira Maharaj did that, and Parikshit also wanted to go in the same route. Prithu did the same thing. So all those great kings who have become Rajarshis, they have all gone in that. So that's what he's saying here. Bhava Bhavargo Brahmado Yadha Bhave Janasya Tarhya Achyuda Sal Samagamam Sal Sangamo Yarhi Tadaiva Sal Gado Paravareshe Tui Jayate Madim. So he mentions here in verse 49, 50, 51, 52 and all, he's talking about Vairagyam very seriously, about renunciation. He has spoken about that very strongly in that. But when he comes to this 54, Bhavabhavargo, he says, what should I do not to take birth again? That is where this is coming. So the main sadhana is not to increase the karma further. Because at the moment we do certain things in spiritual life, like chanting the holy name and studying Srimad Bhagavatam and engaging in salsangam. But what is the benefit of all these things? Because quite often those who are engaged in sadhana, they will have this doubt in them. I am doing all these things for a long time, but nothing is happening. This is a very general question. Everybody asks this. I don't know, what should I do now? That means a kind of frustration is building up inside. What should I do? So, and when they raise this question, they'll put the same doubt into others' mind also. It's a bacteria actually. It's like a virus. They will practice for a while and then they will say, this, I have done this so many years, nothing has happened. I don't know whether you are wasting your time also. I wasted my time. That's what it means. It's spoken in a very quiet way, saying that, look, nothing is happening, what should I do now? And then but one word is enough. Then you also start thinking, is it all a waste of time? That thought will naturally come inside. So, so therefore, if that thought comes in, then it becomes difficult to tell anyone else to chant. If you yourself are not convinced about it, that it is a whole thing. So everything comes to a dead stop at that time. Then you suddenly start thinking, what's the use of all this? Nothing is happening. All along, if you have used your mind and intelligence to understand spiritual life, this problem will happen. That is why the quicker you separate yourself from mind and intelligence and start taking Shastram seriously, not allowing the mind and intelligence to interfere in that, then there is a chance of surviving in spiritual life. Otherwise, it will be very difficult. Once you start using mind and intelligence and evaluate everything through the mind and intelligence, you will one day, somebody may say something and you will fall into it. You will fall into that trap. So, so sometimes at home, this is another problem. You are living with so many other people. You are trying to do everything on your own spiritual life. Others will watching you and they'll tell you one day, you have been going for all these Bhagavatam classes, temple you are visiting, you are chanting, spending a lot of time. What did you gain from all these things? That one question is enough. Boom, gone. Everything gone with that. This will happen. That is how spiritual life is. Churasya dhara nishidam durateya. Kadhopanishad says, it's just like walking on a razor edge. Why? Because if everyone around you is not favorable, then they can drive you out very easily. It doesn't take very long. They have to only ask you this question and you start thinking, have I wasted all my time? That's enough, finished. Then for a few days, you are neither here nor there, thinking about it. So, what did you gain from? This is what they will ask the question. You've gone to temple so many times. You've spent so much of your time in chanting and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. What did you gain from this? That will be the question. Sometimes, father and mother will find it difficult to answer that question. When the children ask that question, they'll find it difficult to answer that question. So, what should we answer them at that time? That's an important question. So, for a long time, I've been carrying the Srimad Bhagavatam in the hand and walking around, chanting the holy name, going to the temple, so many things. What did I get? One mother said this at one point to his son, that you're right, what my son, what you told me. For going for all these things, I didn't get anything. But I understood one thing. If I don't do anything, I will get something. And that's what I want to avoid. I'm frightened about that. That's how she replied that. She told him, because the son was asking constantly, my dear mother, you have been running around in all these temples and all these satsangams and Bhagavatam, and even at home you have no time for anything else except to chant the holy name or deity worship or things like that. So mother said to the son like this, that you are right that I didn't get anything. You are absolutely right in saying that. But if I don't do all these things, I may get something, and that's what I am frightened about. That's what I'm frightened about. Therefore, I'm keep doing these things to keep me not to fall into that trap. And by doing all these things, you should get out of this concept that I'm getting something from that. Because at least you don't go and fall into another trap of karma somewhere else. That is the, what do they call the security belt you build around you by doing this. You know what I'm saying? That satsangam, Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting the holy name, deity worship, all these things is a fence you are building around you so that karma doesn't come back to you and attack you again. You can see people who are attached to the mind and intelligence and stuck in that pit. They're finding it difficult to come out. Everything is a big effort for them. To chant the holy name, effort. To alsangam, salsangam, difficult. Bhagavatam, difficult. Because constantly evaluating through the mind and the body, mind and the intelligence, they get stuck. And they have not understood this very principle. Nothing is going to come from outside. Nothing is going to happen to us. We are not going to get anything by studying Srimad Bhagavatam or hearing Bhagavatam. What will happen is, it is the safe fence you are building around you so that you don't fall back into karma again. Otherwise, what happens to us, we know very well. Even after retirement, you want to go back to work again. People are there like that, isn't it? You see so many people, they think that there is nothing else in life to do. So let me look for something else now, to start something else. So that karma vasana in a person is a very powerful force operating urges inside. So if you give attention to this, at least karma bandhanam, bondage of the karma may not happen, which means no new vasanas are created inside. And if we do this, practice of the spiritual activities seriously, so at least it will protect us from not creating new vasanas inside. So disease is karmam, karma rogam, and in order to cure that karma rogam is sadhana. Sadhana means all this is included, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, everything. So just like in a paper, you have written something with the pencil and you use an eraser to erase it, isn't it? So if you keep on erasing, what will happen? Eventually eraser will also go, isn't it? So eraser also will go. So, but your attention is only on the erasing things. Your attention is always on the erasing thing. But ultimately you will see the eraser also gets finished, isn't it? Similarly, in spiritual life also, that erasing process is what all this is about. That means ahambhavam inside, ahankaram goes away. Keep on doing sadhana. Ahankaram goes away. And what will happen? Our pure form inside will come eventually. It's already there. Only because of ahankaram inside, ahambhavam inside, that is not able to come out. So removing that false ego from inside is that process of sadhana. That process and sadhana. So surrender. In other words, surrender happens, not movement. Movement should not happen inside. We have understood it in a different way. Mind is always moving, isn't it? It's demanding so many things. And if you go along with the mind, what will happen? Mind, even if you go favorably or unfavorably with the mind will never be peaceful. Either way. Even if you go along with the mind, it won't let you give you peace. Even if you go against the mind, still you won't be peaceful within you. Because mind is not able to hold any emotions on a permanent basis. It cannot hold. So one person said, I get very angry, he said. He gets very angry. So how shall I get rid of that anger from inside? So this person, the sannyasi to whom he was talking, the sannyasi told him, all right, get angry now, let me see how it is. He says. So that person says, no, I can't do that. Only when it comes. I can't straight away get angry like that, he says. So in other words, that is something, emotions all come and go. They don't stay. So similarly, you don't have any freedom over it. You have no freedom to decide when it should come, when it should not come. Then if you ask him, why are you getting angry then? He says, if you are getting angry, you should be able to stop it. That shows that you are not actually getting angry. Anger is something else that's coming from the prakriti. It's not from the swarupam, it's come from the Swabhavam, isn't it? So, so when the anger comes, don't hold on to it, move away from that, because that's your Swabhavam, because Swarupam is different. So once he accepts that then you won't feel feel that anymore. So sometimes he says to him, when did you get angry last time? Oh, last day before yesterday at 9 o'clock in the evening, I got very angry, he says. So, and how long you were angry? Say about 5 minutes. I was angry, he says. So, for intensely I felt angry for 5 minutes, he says. So, when that happened, what did you do? Oh, I broke all the pots, threw the chair, table away and things like that. So, you may say like that. So, and then afterwards what happened? Oh, it went away. So, it is something that has come and that has gone. And it stayed for a little while and then it left. And you can't stop it also. It came and it had gone. Because nothing will stay in the mind. That's the nature of the mind. Because mind itself by very nature is chanchalam hi manakrishna. Always flickering nature. Isn't it? So if we do not feed the mind with anything, you can see that it won't cause problems. Only thing is, don't try to fight with the mind. Mind you can't fight with. If you start fighting with the mind, you will lose it. Many times what will happen is, it won't let you go on your own. What can we do? What normally happens is, we pour a little oil into it. And that's sufficient, it blows automatically, isn't it? So, and don't also inquire that if you try to think that there is some technique or method I'm going to use to control the mind, that also won't work. So, if you give allowance to all those kind of things, mind will grow. mind will grow. Controlling the mind. If you remember in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, the mind is coming from the food. Food what we eat, isn't it? The food turns into mind. And pranan, annamaya kosham, pranamaya kosham, manamaya kosham. So, annam turns into pranan, and pranan and mind comes from that. In a, that is how the change happens from there. So, salsangam or katha shravanam or shravanam Srimad Bhagavatam, the first thing what one has to do is to escape from this karma that binds a person strongly here in this world. If the strong Mujugunda asked the same question to him, that what did the demigods tell him that go and sleep, he said. Because karma, they understood that the impact of karma will be such. So nobody can sleep continuously, but demigods gave this blessing to him. And Krishna's appearance at that time, and everything happens only when that situation is right. It is at that time Krishna comes. It is at that time you get the right spiritual master and the person who is going to show you the direction of liberation as well. All these things happens after that. So, till that happens, we have to be careful not to pull more karma into life and make life very complex. If we do that much, like Muchukunda did, that is the safety net. That's the safety net. This is what Muchukunda has done. In that Muchukunda study, if you study well, the main thing you will grasp from there is how Muchukunda escaped from karma. Karma was causing all the problem for him. And when he sensed that, you can't remember that he is a great personality, emperor of a planet in the solar dynasty, coming under the lineage of Ikshvaku, such a great personality, he has come to terms with it, about karma. We don't talk about karma so much. We don't even take seriously the effect of karma, isn't it? Karma is one of the five things in the Bhagavad Gita. Remember, at the end of the chapter, you will see jivam, jiva, material nature, prakriti, maya, karma is one of that. So, effect of karma is well known. It's a very contributing factor in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam and all Vedic philosophy as well. So, he mentions to him, not creating any new karma, go and live in the cage. And if that much conscious we become in our sadhana, in spiritual life, that will do a long way. Because these things changes inside. It brings a completely different realization, understanding inside. Keep on doing in this world is not going to bring anything at the end. At the end, you will realize it that I have done a lot. What did happen to this? And then you are looking for a result after death. If you get it. That's not even guaranteed. That's why most of the people are in spiritual life, isn't it? Running from one end of the world to the other end, doing so many things, thinking that it will all going to come one day. The result is going to happen. But that is not the way Muchukunda followed. Muchukunda says, I have done enough. Let me be free from this karma, the disease of karma. And therefore, I opt for sleep. That's how he opted that sleep. That is what's important there to learn from Muchukunda. Muchukunda says like this, that even when we execute selfish karma, karma which is meant for our own, even that will keep us away from the knowledge. It will distance ourselves from the knowledge. So, kamya karma, that means fruitive activities, we have to do certain things in this world, to live in this world, isn't it? There is no other way. So, therefore, certain restrictions that through dharmam, you execute your karma in such a way that you don't get too much burned with the karma. That's the idea behind it. So, not to develop this swarthada, selfishness inside, and not to strengthen that, or to strengthen the false ego inside, if I keep on executing karma in that way, little by little, it will strongly bind us to this world. There is no doubt about all these things. This is the principle of the philosophical understanding from the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is giving us 6 chapters in the Bhagavad Gita how to escape from the karma, not to do the karma well. That's not what Krishna is teaching. Krishna is telling us how to escape from the karma. That is the message from the Bhagavad Gita. In order to do that, Karma Yogam was spoken, and all the 4 or 5 chapters with the karma that is spoken, how to escape from karma. And we are thinking that by engaging in karma, we will become successful in spiritual life. That's a very gross misunderstanding. That is not going to happen. So, therefore he left everything and went and slept in that cave. And at some point in time in his life, that paribhagam, karma paribhagam. Karma paribhagam means that his karma has come to a state where karma vasana has gone away completely from inside. Due to the blessings of the demigods and Krishna's mercy has started, that he gave up everything, all karma armic activities are finished, and he stayed in this cave for some time. And due to that, how he spent his time, that karma has left him, ultimately has left him. Only when that karma goes away, Krishna comes in the front. As long as we have karma vasana inside, no matter all our sadhana and all hand can do very little thing. That we have always this question in front of us, that, oh, I have to do so much in this world, I have my duty, I have my this, I have my that. But karma vasana inside, in a very subtle level, will tightly pull us away from the knowledge and self-realization. So, in the material nature, there is proper arrangement that when we are ready for it, the time is right, there is facility in this creation for someone to come and to give Brahma Vidya to this person. Brahma Vidya to that person. So, sometimes people ask this question, when will I attain self-realization? They'll ask this question always, isn't it? We are in a rush. We want to get there. Either we'll say, when will I get back to Godhead? Or we will say, when will I get self-realization? Whatever it is, the answer is, deserve it and own it. You deserve it and then you own it. You have it, then you don't have to. So, our qualification is the most important factor there. So, if that qualification comes inside, it will naturally happen from within, and there will be a reason behind it. Muchukunda was lying in the forest. When the time has come, Krishna came and stood and asked him, what benediction you want? Muchukunda says to him, he is seeing Krishna standing there and asking him. No, look at this way. He is looking at Krishna and he says to him. And he has brought Kalayavana in front of him. And Kalayavana did not see any effulgence, Krishna's effulgence there. Whereas same Krishna inside the cave, Muchukunda is seeing, Kalayavana is also seeing. Kalayavana did not even see Krishna. Muchukunda is completely carried away by the effulgence, Krishna's effulgence. Say Krishna is the same person there. So, where is the difference in the vision? It's coming from the inside. Muchukunda was ready, Kalayavana was not ready. That's why it is. Seeing Krishna means that we will make everything very personal in that way, saying that Krishna means, so how come Kalayavana did not have the proper glasses then, you see? That's why he couldn't see him. That's how spiritual seeing is different. Spiritual seeing is different. Whereas in the case of Kalayavana, he couldn't see Krishna. Why? He wasn't ready there. He had all the plans to do many things in this world. He wanted to fight with someone, full of ragadvesham inside and looking for Krishna to fight with, because Narada Maharshi told him he's a right candidate for you to fight with. But he couldn't see even Krishna. If you read the Bhagavatam, that part you will see there. Kalayavana could not see Krishna, and Muchukunda is completely, his eyes were completely baffled by Krishna's effulgence there. So seeing Krishna means that. So, and Muchukunda and Krishna was chased by Kalayavana. Kalayavana wanted to kill Krishna, isn't it? Fight with him. So, that is why Krishna, when Muchukunda saw Krishna, Muchukunda understood that this is the Supreme Personality standing there. Absolute Truth is right in front of me. In other words, only when inside that perfection comes, perfection of realization comes inside, we will see Krishna. Krishna asking Muchukunda, what do you want? Muchukunda says, I don't want anything. That is the first answer. Muchukunda says, I don't want anything. Similarly, you will notice Prithu Maharaj also. What happened? Prithu mentioned about this. If you look in the fourth canto, you will see there, what Prithu said to him. Prithu says, 20th chapter, he mentions there that the Varan Vibho Prithu Vacham, 23, verse 23 in 20th chapter, Prithu mentions, Prithuru Vacham, Varan Vibho Tadvaradishwarad Buddha Katham Vrite Gunavikriyalpanam Ye Naraganam Abhisandidehinam Tanisha Kaivalyapate Vrne Nacham Varan Vibho Tadvaradishwarad Buddha. He says to, Prithu says to him that you are the personality who controls everything in everybody, everything in everyone's life, and if I have to ask from you things, very silly things, like in the form of these blessings, how can anyone who has some discrimination or proper understanding can ask such a question, such a benediction? He says, these things are, benedictions are available everywhere. He says, Ye Naraganam abhi sandhi dehinam tanisha kaivalyapate vrne nacha. That Naraganam abhi sandhi dehinam, those who are sometimes living in the hellish planets also, they get sometimes benedictions. You know that. That sometimes you are in the hellish planet. Once Durvasava Maharshi visited a hellish planet, and there if somebody was asking Durvasava Muni, take me out of this hell, and he was asking for a blessing, Durvasava Muni gave him some blessings also. So giving blessing and getting blessing is not the perfection of life. That's what Prithu Maharaj says. Prithu is saying, blessings are available everywhere. People are giving blessings and people take blessings also. But that is not the ultimate perfection. That is, Varanvi Bhotadvarad Ishwarad Buddha Katham Pranide Gunavikriya Alpanam Ye Naraganam Abhisandidehinam Tanisha Kaivalyapade Vrne Nacham. So what Prithu has spoken there, Prithu says to him, if I accept some blessing, one benediction from you, then in order that the blessings to happen, I have to live for that in this world. That is the problem with all the blessings, isn't it? If you blessing. So those who are thinking seriously about getting out of this material life, material world, and if he is still asking for blessings, the fact is that he has decided not to leave. He wants to stay here. Still the plan is to stay and make it perfect here. So so he mentions here, and this is what has happened to Dhruva. If you remember Dhruva's story, Dhruva made this mistake. Dhruva made this, Prahlada did not make that mistake. When Prahlada was asked by Narasimha Murthy, what benediction do you want? Prahlada says to him, give me a benediction so that I will not ask for any benediction. Whereas, when Dhruva came, and he was a five-year-old boy, he says to him, Dhruva says to Krishna like this, that five-year-old, very intelligent boy, Dhruva, but it was a mistake. He talks about it later. I got the greatest opportunity to escape from here. What did I do? Seeing my desire inside, Krishna says, you stay here for another 36,000 years, and then you can come back. That was the answer. Is it not? In the Bhagavatam, you know that. If you look into Dhruva's history, if you read what happened, because if we carry desires inside, Krishna knows that. And he will give you the blessing. Because desire is inside. That's what you want, to fulfill that desire. So Prahlada did not make any mistake. Prithu did not make any mistake. Here you can see, now Muchukunda also doesn't want to fall into that trap. It's a trap that is kept there. Krishna puts that trap in front of everybody. And so you can see here, so jnanis are like that. So so they say, realized souls, they say that people who die in the accident, road accident or some accident like that, they say they get a ghost body, isn't it? People say like that. And the ghost body is wandering around looking for another body. So those who are asking for blessings are in that category. That desire is not gone. So to fulfill that desire, they are willing to do anything to get that again. So Narada Maharshi says to him, Narada Maharshi mentions at that time that he wanders around to who, to give bhakti to whom. He says, if I give bhakti to such people who are looking for, they will use the bhakti for that purpose. They won't use the bhakti in the right way. So in one sense, Narada Maharshi says, there is nothing easier than bhakti process is concerned. because Krishna is available freely inside the heart and nothing else exists except Krishna inside. So, and that loving relationship with Krishna is there in everybody devotee, but only thing is it has to be woken up. That feeling of love for Krishna has to be woken up inside. From a devotee's point of view, that is how you will say. From Jnani's point of view, we will say that the knowledge of the soul has to be woken up. That's all the difference is. In devotee language, you will say you have to wake up the love for Krishna. In the knowledge, in the language of the Jnanis, you will say you wake up from the realization of the soul. That's all it is. So therefore, Sri Narada Maharshi wandered around and he went in different ways. You will see in the Srimad Bhagavatam from Prajina Barahis, it has started. Remember, first he thought he'll go to a king and see what happens with the king. And then Sri Narada Maharshi went to the children of Daksha Prajapati, Hariyashwa, Shabalashwas, two different groups of children, the Daksha Prajapati's children. And it didn't work. Prajina Barahis, it was very difficult for him. He had to speak five chapters of Bhagavatam to convince Prajina Barahis that there is something superior to Karmagandam. That's what happened with Prajina Barahis. To escape from the Karmagandam, to get him out of that karmam. In other words, it was so difficult. Prajina Barahis was so absorbed in karmam. He took that Karmagandam is everything in life. And when Narada Maharshi walked in, he says to Narada Maharshi, Maharshi, look at this. The whole place is covered with kushagras because so much sacrifices I have performed. Narada Maharshi says to him, I'll show you something. Touch me and have a look, he said. When he looked, he says, all the animals he has sacrificed there, they are all standing there with their horns ready to hit our Prajina Barahis once he leaves this body. So this is what is waiting for you. And then Prajina Barahis, God becomes sensible. He says, nobody told me about this, he says. Narada Maharshi says to him, I'm telling you now. And then he talked Puranjana Vakhyanam to him. After this is the first instance in the Bhagavatam, Narada Maharshi guiding one person. Second instance you see is Daksha's children. Daksha became a householder and he wanted to go in that direction. Narada Maharshi caught his children first, Hariyashwa, and told them that this is not the way you should go. And there is a long lecture from Sri Narada Maharshi to Hariyashwas, telling them that your father has taken to the path of karma, let him go in that direction. But at least you become sensible, and he gave them sannyasam and sent them to perform austerities and penances. When Daksha Prajapati came to know about it, he got very angry with Sri Narada Maharshi. Anyway, Narada Maharshi escaped at that time without getting cursed by Daksha. But so next time, when the second time the children came, Shabalashwas they are called, Sri Narada Maharshi did exactly the same thing to them. And he told Shabalashwas that your ancestors, Hariyashwas, they have taken sannyasam and left this world and took advantage of this human body and realized the truth and they have gone. Why don't you follow the same route? And they did the same thing. When they did the same thing, Daksha couldn't bear it anymore. So he cursed Narada Maharshi at that time, isn't it? You will not be able to stay anymore in one place for a long period of time. So all these experiments Narada Maharshi has done. First he tried with the king, then he tried with the princess, all these princes. And it is finally, he caught hold of, he said, these grown-up men is very difficult. That I'll get into problem like this, let me catch hold of Dhruva. So that is why he caught Dhruva. But, like this, he caught hold of Dhruva and tried through Dhruva, but also ended up like this. Narada Maharshi was not happy about that. That it's fine that he saw Krishna and everything, how happened. But ultimately, he wanted Dhruva to go back, didn't want him to stay here. 36,000 years he had to stay. Then the problem with Suriji and Uttama, all that things, what happened after that. So this experiment Narada Maharshi has done in his own life with what he has done in spiritual life. He has conducted all these experiments and his result is what we are reading in the Bhagavatam. What we are reading here also, you can see in Muchukunda's case also, Kalayavana was told that you go there and chase Krishna because Narada Maharshi knew this, that eventually it will end up in Muchukunda's liberation. So, but Muchukunda was ready, so all these things happened in that way, in the same way. Just like in spiritual life, we also do experiments. Is it not? We all do experiments in spiritual life. We tried with Sunday school first. bring the children for 1 hour, when we tell them that, look, this is how we have to do, we try to induce something. And then this club, Krishna club, Hindu school, all sorts of things we try out. What should we show? Let something may work, we think, and nothing works at the end. We are thinking that all these things will work. Nothing will work. Spiritual life is like that. If you think that by your effort things are going to happen, it's not going to happen. And suddenly when all these things are going on, somewhere, some unknown corner in the world, somewhere a realized soul will appear. That is the way spiritual life is. Remember, we are discussing this. Mujhukunda himself admits that. He says, by my time, I think the ling is gone. It's broken. It's gone. Because spiritual life is in Krishna's control, complete control. Where to appear, when to appear, that decision is completely made by Krishna's arrangement. There we have no freedom. In every organization, this is going on. It's not in one organization. People do Bala Vihar and Bala Gokulam. So many institutions are going on. And what happens there? Parents send the children there. Oh, at least they are in the association. You'll be all right. I may not be all right, but they will be all right. They will become pure devotees. That's all we want. We may not become pure. That doesn't matter. They should become pure devotees. That's the main thing. So send the children to all these course, all these classes. It's going on all over, everywhere in the world. This is happening. All institutions are running different programs for the children, so that parents will feel happy. Parents say, at least there is a place they can go and get rid of the problem temporarily for some time. Away from our headache is gone. So they go there. And what happens is that all these places, keep on experimenting with different things in spiritual life. And you notice that they will teach them some verses. And something like, oh, my son, then any guest comes at home, you bring the child, say a few verses on the Bhagavad Gita. So it's all a vanity goes on there, show. Nothing else comes out of it. That spiritually there's nothing happening. This is what the modern spiritual life is all about. All this is things is going on. So you can keep on experimenting like this, that Gurugulam, this thing, that thing, everything they are trying. We have started, so many institutions are springing up everywhere. Everybody thinks they have got the answer. That is the most interesting thing. Everybody has got the answer for the problem. But spiritual life, as far as Krishna, stays far behind from all these things. So it's a very unusual world, the spiritual world is. It's a very unusual world. So, but you can't say completely reject it, because it does help people in a cultural level. To some culture, to induce some culture into the child, it helps. To some extent, it helps. But the way you think about it, that success is not going to come from that. If you think that by sending the children to this club or this school is going to become pure devotees from that we can forget. That's not going to happen. That's the only thing. So Adhyalpam, spiritual field, is a very amazing field, that is. It's a very amazing field. Everyone need not come to the process of bhakti or to the process of knowledge either. Sometimes you will notice these personalities, some pure great devotees and some great jnanis, they will take birth in some place, somewhere in the world, some corner where none of these things are happening. That is the unusual phenomenon. It's a very difficult thing to understand. Whereas normally what we think, we see some people, we see, oh, from the early childhood, the parents have trained him up like this. Yeah, that is there. It has helped in certain situations, but that is not a guarantee that he will become a spiritually enlightened person. Spiritual realization may not happen due to all that. So, Prahlada, look at this Bhagavatam itself. The most materialistic person in the creation is Hiranyakashipu. And Prahlada was born as his child. To tell us this truth, that not by your effort everything will happen. No, it cannot happen. Prahlada was put in that Hiranyakashipu's family right there to make us understand that spiritual realization, spirituality is not subjected to anything. Materialism cannot stop it. No materialistic life can stop a person if he wants to advance in the spiritual path. If a person does not want to advance in the spiritual path, no matter you send him to any mutt, any ashram, it is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. That is the way. So, so that itself will defeat all our logic. This Hiranyakashipu and Prahlada story itself. So with our logic, if you go in the path of spirituality, it will not work. So that is why spiritual life, for a long time, people want to make organization around that, isn't it? Sankhana. And the result of that, lot of organizations have come, lot of sampradayams have also come from that. So after a while, you will notice every sampradayam will become jadam. It will become dead thing. Because you can notice this in every sampradayam, it has happened. That it becomes, eventually it ends up in a pure materialistic affair. It becomes come to that state. So, but somewhere, some great souls will appear and they will develop spiritually. Again, they will regenerate that realization, what they have, into others. To some extent, they will go. So, Narada Maharshi asked Dhruva Maharaj, what was his question? Where are you going? He says to him. He says, I'm going to perform austerities in the forest. So, what for? He asked him, isn't it? So, because my... Suruji is not his mother, but stepmother. Stepmother. Stepmother has insulted me. That was the answer, isn't it? So, so I'm going to the forest and I'm going to engage in meditation and I want Krishna to appear in front of me and I'm going to get that highest position in this world in competition against the stepmother. So Narada Maharshi says to him, why are you feeling so insulted about that? After all, why should you get insulted? So he says to him that you're only 5 years old. Why are you getting so insulted? Why at this stage itself so strong about it? A 5 year old boy, if he gets offended by such a thing. Normally children forget it at that age, isn't it? But that doesn't happen. So why you feel it this insist like that? He says to him, this is not an age. You have to be concerned about it. You should be now playing with the toys and playing with other children and enjoy your life. And why all this? So, and says to him, whatever that comes to you, you accept in that way. But when he instructed Dhruva, Dhruva did not listen to him, did he? Dhruva didn't listen to him. Dhruva went for penances and he was insisting that I'm going to go. I'm not going to listen to you. And he wanted to go. So Narada Maharshi says to him, okay, I'll give you the mantra you should chant, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. He gave him the mantra Diksha and told him, you chant this, go to Madhuvanam. And that's where, Madhuvanam is where Dhruva Maharaj performed his penances and engaged in meditation and Krishna will appear, he said. And as Narada Maharshi told him, it all happened, isn't it? So when he saw Krishna appeared, Dhruva Maharaj saw Krishna's form, beautiful form of Krishna, and Romanjayatyangakam Vyasinjatabishidabashpavisarei Anandamurcholbhavehi. When he saw that form, Sri Narada Maharshi spoke about Krishna's form. When Dhruva Maharaj saw the form, the whole body was in ecstasy. All the hair stood up. Romanjayatyangakam Anandamurcholbhavehi. Anandam, happiness, bliss as that has happened inside, has become so strongly, has come about, that he mentions to him that this direct experience of Krishna that has happened to him. So in his intelligence, he was experiencing a bliss. At that time, all that he thought about Suruji has gone from inside. Thoughts about Suruji has gone completely. It didn't bother him anymore. So he noticed that, but Krishna is standing in front of me and temporarily he has forgotten everything. And he says to Krishna, I don't want anything. First, that is how, if you read through Dhruva Maharaj's prayers to Krishna, first he will say that I don't want anything and says to him that give me bhakti. He says to him, if you look into that fourth canto, you will see that verses, how Dhruva Maharaj takes it up. 9th chapter, 11th verse. This is Dhruva's glorifications. You remember, like Mujgunda, Dhruva also glorified Krishna, isn't it? So Dhruvastuti, if you read, you will see, he says, Bhaktim muhu pravahadam toime prasango bhuyadananda mahadam amalashayanam yena anjasolbanam uru vyasanam bhavabdhim neshe bhaval gunakathamurda panamattaha. He says to him that very much similar to how Muchukunda spoke in the same way. If you look that verse number 11 and this verse here in the a similarity you will notice in the prayers. That means in Muchukunda's case it is verse number 54. Same thing is repeated by Dhruva. Dhruva is saying to him, Bhaktim muhu pravahadam toime prasango bhuyad ananda mahadam amalashayanam yenanja solbanam uru vyasanam bhavabdim neshe bhaval gunakathamurda panamattam. So here he says, let there be association for me with great personalities all the time, and let me hear about you from them. And in their association, let me cross over this bhavam, means cycle of birth and death. He mentions there, isn't it, in that verse. And here Mujgunda is saying to him also, Bhava bhavargo brahmato yada bhave janasya tarhya chuda sal samagama sal sangamo yarhita daiva sal gado paravareshe tui jayate madi. Both verses carry the same message. Mujgunda is saying to him that by your mercy I have got freed from the bondage of this kingdom, and I consider that as your grace. But this release from the kingdom is the one what all the great personalities are looking for. What is that? Salsangam. And that, and these great personalities, they continuously pray for that release from this, their bondage. And here, Dhruva Maharaj also is saying the same thing to Krishna. So, when he mentioned this to him, that you can see that give me bhakti, he says. So, at that time, that Dhruva Maharaj mentions to him that give me the association of the devotees. Dhruva Maharaj says to him, isn't it? He says there by hearing about Krishna, that even this distress, what is inside me, I will stay without that. So Dhruva Maharaj says to him, I will remain as a devotee. In that verse you can see, all I want is bhakti. Bhakti is what Dhruva Maharaj was praying for. I will remain as a devotee and I'll enjoy that bhakti, he says. Krishna wouldn't let him go. Krishna says there, and then Krishna says, so, but you have already shot the arrow first. Once the arrow is shot, you can't take it back. What was that? Already you have created a vasana inside against Suruji when you came to the forest. That vasana is still there. It hasn't gone away. You also created another vasana inside that against Uttama. Uttama was Suruji's son. Against Uttama, you wanted to get the throne. Is it not? Because Dhruva Maharaj's position was that Suryaji says to Dhruva that the throne is meant for if you have taken birth in me, through me. You have taken birth from Suniti. You are not entitled for the throne. And that hit him very hard. Why can't I be the king? That was what in Dhruva's mind. And all this karma vasana that Dhruva has created inside is already has gone strong inside. So Krishna sensed that. So although Dhruva has forgotten all that, we are also like that. We forget our karma vasana. We create karma and then we forget about it. And then we go to Krishna. Krishna, I am very pure now. I am going to come to ask you for pure devotion. That is why Krishna don't let us go. He puts us back here because your vasanas have not gone. What can you do? So the same problem with Dhruva also. This is what we have to learn from that Dhruva story. Dhruva had vasana inside. Vasana has not gone away completely. You see how difficult. If the vasanas don't go away inside, Krishna knows, because Antaryami inside, he knows where we stand, isn't it? So when Dhruva told him, give me bhakti, salsangam, pure association of the pure devotees and all that, Krishna says, I'll give you all that, but let that go first from inside. That thought. That, so he said, have 36,000 years. Not a short, long time, small time, short time. 36,000 years only. Stay here as the king and rule the planet and then you can come back. Krishna took him back eventually. But that one vasana inside him, that Uttama wanted to get the throne, Dhruva could not let it go. Dhruva says, no, I should have it. If they are not going to give it to me, I'll get it in my own way, he says. And that's what made him to walk into the forest, isn't it? So you can see that Krishna wouldn't let him go because that is how karma is. Karma is like that. Once desire, when Krishna says to us in the Bhagavad Gita, Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan. Sarva kamam, all desires must go from inside. Otherwise, it is not possible. If any desires left behind, come back. That's the answer. Coming back, you see, answer. So he mentions, so he says to him, Krishna says to him, first of all, what you have desired inside, let that be finished. Krishna says to him, stay as a king. In a nice way, Krishna put it to him. Krishna didn't tell him, oh, you got all this problem inside. No, he says, you desired that, so you have it first. So very easily, Dhruva took it. But then he realized Krishna has trapped him. That is on his way home. He's thinking that what a mistake I have made. He came to his senses at that time. So now I can't take it back because I have asked for it, so I got it. Dhruva says like this. So for some time I have to stay as a king and enjoy that happiness of the royal life. That's what he says. And finish up all that and then come back. And Dhruva goes home feeling bad about it. If you look into the 9th chapter, verse 34, Dhruva is talking about that. Dhruva is saying how he felt bad about it. For what he has. He didn't ask for it, but the desire was inside. That was sufficient. And that we didn't desire at that moment. He has desired before, and that was staying inside. 4.9.34. This Dhruvastuti in the Bhagavadam is as interesting as our Mujugunda Sudhi as well, in the sense that in Dhruva you will see a child's nature. The child is saying here, you can see there, 34. Mayedat Parthidam Vyartham Chigil Sevagada Yushi Prasadya Jagada Almanam Tapasa Dush Prasadanam Bhavachidamaya Jeham Bhavam Bhagya Vivarjidaha. Mayedat Parthidam Vyartham, he says, one whose lifespan is expired. He is not meant to live anymore. He is meant to die. The time has come, in other words. Now, if you give him all best treatment from the NHS or from the anywhere, is it going to work? No. The time has come for him to go. Nothing is going to work. Similarly, this cheap happiness, what I was looking for, Vyartham Chigil Seva Gada Ayushi Mayedar Prathidam Vyartham Prasadya Jagadalmanam Tapasa Dush Prasadanam. He says here that Krishna is a very difficult person to please, and by whose mercy alone, who got pleased by my austerities and penances, I got him, and then I asked for this cheapest thing. What I should not have, I should not have had that desire coming up in me. That means, while coming to spiritual life, if we keep desires with us and go into spiritual life, and even if something happens one day in spiritual life, it's possible that desires can come and cause problems. This has not only happened with Dhruva, it has happened with many others as well. Chitragedu story, remember what happened to Chitragedu? Vasanas have not gone inside. He goes to the world of the Vidyadharas. This man, when he came, Chitragedu, we shouldn't say man, he is a devotee, great soul, Mahatma he is, Vritrasura he is later. But Parikshit asked this question, why did he become an asura like this? There, this whole story comes out, isn't it? How it happened. That is there in the Bhagavatam. It's a beautiful thing in that sixth canto. is a very interesting in the sense that Chitrayudu was a king and he made certain mistakes that he wanted a son, and Angiras and Narada Maharshi went there to talk to him. In our language, if we say to preach to him, he went there to preach to him. So no preaching worked with Chitrakedu. Chitrakedu, he says, I'll have none of that. He said, I want a son. He was so fixed on that. Angira says to Narada Maharshi, no point in talking to him now. This is not the time to talk. Okay, you'll have a son, but this very son will give you trouble. And you will, eventually you will feel depressed, and then you will come again at that time. So that's what happened, isn't it? Son was born and he had many wives, Chitrakedu. The others didn't like it. They killed this child. All that you can read in the Bhagavad. The child died. Chitrakedu came to his senses. Oh, that time Angiras has told me like this. Angiras is a great personality. In the Upanishads, you will see Angiras coming again and again. In so many Upanishads, he appears. So Angiras says, this time he took Narada Maharshi with him. And then you know what happened. King is very depressed, saying that my son is dead. What shall I do? And he's crying. Narada Maharshi started saying to him, all right, I'll get him back now. Calls him back. The jiva, that jiva which has left. He comes back. And Narada Maharshi says to him, why you have put your parents like this? They are feeling unhappy. They are so miserable. That jiva says, Bhagavatam uses the word jandu. Yeah. Why the jiva says like this, that who is my father, who is my mother? I was father and mother for so many people in so many lifetimes. And this one is one father and one mother. So if all those people start crying on account of me, and I am myself crying on account of somebody else who have left me, where is the end to this? Where do I am going? Because in this place, my food is finished, he says. My food, which was allotted to me here, that's over now. I'm going, he says. When he said that, Chitrakedu satisfied, understood the truth. That is, it had to be such a strong lesson had to happen. And then Narada Maharshi and Angiras comes and gives instructions to Chitrakedu. Chitrakedu says, I want to realize the truth now. Immediately switched to the self-realization. Narada Maharshi says to him, I'll give you one mantra. Chant this mantra for 7 days. He will go back to the spiritual world. He did. He chanted the mantra because of Narada Maharshi's potency, not due to Chitrakedu's potency. Due to Narada Maharshi, because he's coming from a personality like that. He becomes Chitrakedu, ghost, and meets Lord Balaram there. When he went there, Krishna wasn't there. Balaram was there. Balaram gave transcendental knowledge to Chitrakedu and made him a Vidyadhara and told him, now you can travel around the world with all the other Vidyadharas, a very high standard of life and comfortable, and sing the glories of Krishna and wander around. But the thing was, he was not fitting very well with the team there. When he came there, the team sensed this is not one. He's not, what do they say? He's not one of us. Not only that, when a team member is not playing properly, the others will say to him, you are not playing your role properly, isn't it? In football and everything, they talk like that. And that's exactly what happened to our Chitrakedu. Chitrakedu, they told him that we are going to see Lord Shiva in Kailasam. We want to go there. And Chitrakedu says, I am also coming. He says, they say to him, no, you don't come. You stay here. He won't leave. He says, I will have none of that. I want to be with you. They all went there. None of them had any problems when they saw Lord Shiva and Shivarvati together. But Chitrakedu did not work out very well. Chitrakedu thought, what is this? This is Lord Shiva, he says to him, like that, looking at him, completely in a very ridiculing nature. He started looking at him, and seeing Chitrakedu's mood, Shiva didn't say anything, but Parvati didn't like it. She got really heavy with him and told him, become a demon now, and sent him away from there, and he had to come back as Pratrasura later, isn't it? Because he was a devotee, Krishna has protected him. At that time, Pratrasura, although he became a demon's body, he had to go through that body, still he escaped from all that. That is Krishna's mercy, no doubt. But what I'm saying here is that vasana inside is a powerful thing that will not let us go, freely escape from inside. And we create more karma vasana. That is the result that comes from that. So he mentions there that Dhruva Maharaj says there that one who could offer you liberation from this cycle of birth and death, I have got him right in front of me. Krishna was there right in front of him, isn't it? And what did I get? I got from him something very cheap. 36,000 years as a king here. That's what I came back here. I'm a very unfortunate person, Dhruva Maharaj says there, isn't it? So Mujunda says to Krishna like this, I don't want anything. Already I am under the influence of Maya. Therefore, if you give me something, I will hold on to that again. And still, then I will forget about Bhakti, Bhagavan, everything will be forgotten. Krishna and everything will be forgotten. So, so for us, it's just like this. If we get a plate of Mahaprasadam, that's sufficient for us. Satisfied with that, isn't it? Our desire is all finished with that. Then bhakti not necessary, Bhagavan also not necessary. One plate of Mahaprasadam, our goal is over. So these are the people like us, and we are the people who are talking. So to forget Krishna, it's not very easy. It's not very difficult. To forget Krishna is not very difficult. Otherwise, even a chocolate or a big feast is more than sufficient. So, to forget about Krishna. That means, little happiness in this world is more than enough for us that to take us away from Krishna. It is so easy. So, Maya can play with us in all these kind of ways, in different ways. So, if we think ourselves with our effort, and with our strength and with our pride, if we think we can escape from Maya, that thought itself is a Maya. That thought itself is a Maya. To think that with my sadhana, with my power, with my karma vasana or with my karma, I'm going to come out of this cycle of birth and death, that itself is a Maya. Because Maya is doing that with us. Maya makes that thought us. So, even this pride in us is also within the jurisdiction of Maya. Only within the jurisdiction. When we surrender, it is at that time Sharanagati happens. Who sees Maya? Maya is also Krishna's, isn't it? Krishna's Maya it is. So, Todiyadam Mayayam, he says. So, one who controls this Maya is also Krishna. So, that is why it mentions in the Bhagavad Gita also, Tameva Sharanam Gacha. Surrender to their Krishna. Only to Krishna to surrender, and that surrender alone will pull us out of the Maya. There is no other alternative. In other words, without Krishna's mercy, without Krishna's grace, if somebody thinks that they can escape from this material cycle of birth and death, it is just another Maya. It is just another Maya. So, when we surrender to Krishna, then there is nothing to ask anymore. Wherever Krishna puts us in whatever situation, that is why in that 47th verse, if you look, you will see what he mentions there. 47, he says, Labdhva jano durlabha matra manusham kadanjila vyangamayat madho anakha padaravindam na bhajatyasan madir grihanda kobe padito yatha pashu. That Grihandakobe Patito Yatha Pashu. That is where I am living at the moment. That I don't know how I got this human body, he says. Government, how I got this human body. Sometimes in the states, schools and all that, that the instruction is that no children should fail. In the olden days in India, children failed. Then you'll have to sit back in the same here, isn't it? I don't know whether it was like that here, but
Going to introduce it.
Oh yeah. So I don't know, but in India it was like that you stay back for another year. So that means you feel very bad about it, isn't it? Another year seeing the same teacher, same lesson, you have to go through everything. But here, at least at the moment, I don't think that rule exists that everybody gets through every year, at least till the GCSE or something, isn't it? So similarly, there is a rule that you should pass, you should get through, isn't it? Grace is like that. Krishna's grace is like that. If he has decided, whatever there is problem with you, doesn't matter. You are through. You are through that. So Krishna allows that. Whatever you write, it doesn't matter. So once it so happened that somebody taught a child mathematics, mathematics. The father was very rich, and the teacher who was teaching was very poor. Due to his poverty, he was doing that teaching. He was giving the lessons in mathematics to him. And so the son was very dull, won't capture anything very easily, but he was very rich, father was very rich. So father has engaged this teacher to teach him. And one day the father called the teacher and asked him, how is my child doing in mathematics? The teacher says to him, oh, he's very good, he said. He's very, very good, he said. So the father thought, let me call him and ask him questions in mathematics, he said. So simple questions is, he asked, so he says, add up two numbers, he said, 4 and 5, how much is it, he said. He gave a straight away answer, 8, he said. So, and then, he says, 8. Then the teacher, father says to the child, think about it and then answer. He again thought for a while and he said, 7, he said. Answer. So the teacher who was standing next to him says to the father, look at him, how good is he? The father says to the teacher, what are you talking about? Said, are you dull to talk like this? He says. So the teacher says to him, at least he has told you some number, isn't it? He didn't say coconut or mango. At least he has said some number. That itself is a great step in his life, in his education. He said, therefore, number, at least he has spoken. Similarly, we are laughing at it, but this is what we are in front of Krishna. That's what I'm saying. If you tell about spiritual life, our spiritual life and our spiritual knowledge and our spiritual relationship, all glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. That's where we stand. We'll continue next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.